The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy.
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please. Yes.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Steven Gostkowski will attempt a 42-yard field goal from the middle of the field to try to win it. 6 seconds to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. Kick is no good. He misses a 42-yard field goal. There is 1 second showing on the clock. My goodness.
Oh, no. We suck again.
All right. I'm not sure we suck, but, boy, that sucked. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. People are not happy. It's unbelievable. Boy, you set a 14-point spread, and obviously expectations are up there. I thought that was a little high to begin with, but, man, people are unhappy. You name it. You know, whether it's Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick or Tom Brady or the O-line or the play calling, or people are unhappy. But we're going to talk about it. The doctor is in. Lie down on our couch, and we'll get this all straightened out in the next 2 hours. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. Eric is out. This is Tuesday soiree.
Well, no, he's not out. He's not here today.
Oh, he's not out?
No, he's just not here today.
Oh.
You need to clarify when talking about him.
Well, for you, I do. Because
and most of our listeners.
It's always
especially
on
the
your
ones
mind.
In Britain and Ireland.
All right.
I'm worried about the offense.
Okay. What has you worried?
This is going to probably sound strange, but Tom Brady.
You know
The offensive line.
It doesn't sound strange. Go ahead.
I think he's anticipating pressure. Mm-hmm. I think it's in his head. And he has this fear of running. And I give you credit. You've said, dating back a couple of years now, he needs to be willing to run the ball. And I don't necessarily think I've agreed with that. But in this game, so many times he stepped up and he was like a dog who reached the electric fence. He was so unwilling to keep going.
That is a great way of putting it because there was nothing in front of him.
He's going to get killed because going back, there are guys that got by him that are coming back that he can't see to kill him. At least moving forward, he has the chance to kind of slide, defend himself. I think he's going to get killed, and I do. I think he's anticipating pressure more and more and more, and that's bad when you have an offensive line that's going to give up some legitimate
pressure. That's a perfect way of putting it. It's like he hits an invisible barrier.
Yes.
And he could have got 2-3 yards on a couple of – at least a couple
more
of occasions.
More than that, probably a couple of times. But I am A – it's not even just the yards. It's the fear of when you stop there, there's a lot coming around you, and you're going to get cold cocked, and it's not going to be good for you.
You know, there was one play where he just kind of lost track of what was going on behind him. I think he thought that his blind side was covered, and it wasn't.
Right.
And he got nailed again.
But do you remember when we used to say, like, how does he sense that guy? How does he duck that guy? How does he miss this guy? How does he slide that guy? Well, that sixth sense seems to be lacking right now, or it's in his head. Whatever it is, I'm not feeling good about that area of the team right now.
Paul?
Well,
more so about than the running, I'm concerned about some the first point that Andy made about the pressure that he seems to be sensing that's not always there. You know, then that's been a little bit of a problem, I think, going back to his injury.
Oh, yeah.
I think he seemed to have been affected
by that a little
bit. But it's worse,
right? I mean,
his movement in the pocket is slowly deteriorated. That was always such a huge strength of his. But I'm not – listen – My concern.
I thought the doctor was in. We're worried about Britt.
Well, my concern with the offense.
You have to let it out first.
Oh, okay.
You have to let it out first.
I know what Fred's doing. I know what Fred's doing. My concern is more about the Hernandez injury specifically and what it's going to mean. And I'm sure we're going to get into this because it seems to be a huge hot button topic with the whole Welker stuff.
Well, that's the advantage. When Hernandez gets hurt, you have a guy on the bench, you know, a backup like Welker who can just come in.
But
and
I want to know if maybe mentally there's some issues going on that people, you know, I found Tom's response to a question on Sunday about, he was asked if he was on board with the decision to not have Welker out there. And Edelman playing over Welker, I think, was the way the question was phrased. And there was a long pause before he answered in a very diplomatic, whatever the coach says, we do. You know, in other words, he left his opinion of that question completely out of it. He answered it very wisely.
Well, but he
so as not to create. But this was, I thought, this was a significant pause before he answered this question, as if he was saying to himself, "I can't really get into this," and he just kind of gave a coach speak kind of answer. I'm wondering behind the scenes if there's maybe some issues here. Well, maybe Tom's not on board with not having him out there, and. You know, and he's not happy
about
it.
Well, you know, let me address two things. On the Hernandez thing, when he went out, obviously it didn't look good. They tried to see if he could put weight on it. He couldn't. They walked him to the locker room. You figure he's done for the foreseeable future. My first instinct, usually my instinct is to panic. My first instinct was to say, this offense should be able to handle that, okay? That they should be able to live without him for a little bit.
Can I have a quick recap? Just a quick one and can get right back into your point. I just want to put all the cards on the table. So when they had all of their weapons healthy, you were concerned. When they lost a significant one of the weapons, you weren't.
Right. Well, but last week
you told
me not to worry last week, so
no,
I
no,
took
I
your
know,
advice.
But you didn't listen to us.
You know, right. I should have listened. I shouldn't have listened to you. I did. I wasn't worried. I was wrong. Once the first time I was right. Anyway, so
I once was wrong.
Right, so
I was mistaken.
I was wrong to listen to you guys. But so Hernandez goes out. I didn't panic. I figured, okay, they're going to be okay. They should be. They have enough weapons on this team to overcome that. The second thing you had was the Welker, and again, I wasn't immediately after the game. I refused to make a big deal about it the way other people were, but. This is dragged on to this morning. I was listening to the radio this morning, both stations. This is a big issue. And usually when the talking heads are that vociferous about it, somebody's in their ear talking. Usually, you know, and when it has legs like this, I don't think this is just simply sports talk fodder. I think there might be something to this. And I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. You know, I don't think that they're going to pay $9.5 million to a guy and just knock him down the depth chart because for next year. I don't think they're going to do that. But I don't know what the reason is. I don't know. But it's strange. It is strange. I have to admit it.
And so I think some of the theories are really flawed. Like some people say, well, he's gone. He's not going to be a part of this team moving forward.
But I don't
care.
Well,
why would you not want to get value out of him when you're paying him this
year? Right.
I think the opposite. If you're trying to squash him, it's so you can re-sign him to a three-year deal at a cheap rate. I don't understand if you thought he was done, no longer a part of the team, why you would just waste $9.5 million. I'd beat the hell out of him. I'd have him leading, you know, playing fullback, whatever. He's not my problem anymore if I know he's not going to be here again. Return every punt, take every hit he can possibly take. It makes no sense to waste him for this year, does it?
Well, I heard another theory.
I agree with you on that.
And no, it doesn't. I agree.
I'd have him play nose.
I heard another theory where, you know, we see what happens when Brady depends too much on any one guy, whether it's Gronk or Welker. And so early in the season, we got to get this offense more balanced, not just the running game, but in who Brady is looking to. So getting him used to seeing other guys out there, not allowing him to fall back on Welker. And we've seen in both games in the first half, he didn't go to Gronk a lot either.
Well, that's sort of your theory, you know, that I mocked when you said, you know, aside from the all-pros, Welker, Hernandez, and Gronk, who do we have? And I'm thinking, well, that's enough. Like, you know, a lot of quarterbacks would love to be reliant on three all-pros.
Right.
I mean, not everybody has seven deep.
I actually like that last theory. And I hadn't really heard much of that.
Well, that's been his the whole time.
But, he's been saying that that's all they have.
Right.
Right. Which
but
is a lot.
No,
I get that.
His theory about Welker, I think, he's saying, we know we have Welker. Let's see if we have Edelman, too. And let's see if we have Lloyd, too. Maybe they're doing that intentionally to try to see, get Tom comfortable with some other guys. So it's not just about that, but...
Can't do that before the starting snap.
Yeah,
there's rotational reps, and then there's a guy starting.
My argument against that would be that it certainly seemed to be that Hernandez, all signs indicated Hernandez was going to be the guy.
Well,
I think Hernandez was going to end up with every bit the amount of targets that Welker got last year.
Yeah, here's why
didn't really change anything. You just changed the person.
And here's why I think there might be some validity to that let's see what we have besides Welker argument is that, at the time they made that decision, it's always the beginning of the game, okay? So let's get it done early. And maybe they have that much confidence in Hernandez and Gronkowski where, okay, if it doesn't work early, we know we can go back to these guys. But that all got thrown out the window, obviously, when Hernandez got hurt. But maybe there is some truth to that. Maybe it is. Let's see early in games if, you know, Brady can get other guys going. And knowing that if things don't work out, we fall behind 7-3, 10, whatever, we've got the firepower. We'll pull out the guns and we'll do it. But it's that important early in games, early in the season to see that.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy it. And I also question, to me, it creates a story. You know that as much as they want to ignore the noise exists. And if you can manage the noise, I think you should. And to me, if you want to see Edelman, you can rotate him in, you can get him reps, but starting him and Welker standing on the sideline looking like he wants to come in,
right,
to me, that creates noise. That creates a story, whether it's a worthy story or not, that you can flip-flop by just having Welker start, play the first series, and then we start rotating Edelman in. And I don't think it's as big an issue as, wow, he didn't start. What's going on? And with the injury, it got compounded.
You could easily do it in the second series. Right.
Now, the injury made it even worse because people like me say, well, we have no idea now how this would have unfolded.
Right.
Maybe Welker wouldn't have played forever, but he comes in.
The way that game was starting, and I know it was only three plays or something like that.
Three plays, I believe.
I think it's worth wondering.
Yeah, but the whole thing, the first argument about the contract, and I can't buy that. Again, I go back to $9.5 million. You don't pay a guy that – choose to pay a guy that much – and make him a second stringer. I just don't see them doing that.
But I would get back to my thing. If they want him here for the next 3 years, I think you can argue that if you keep his suppress his numbers, that benefits you at the negotiating table next February.
See,
and now you sign him to a 3-year deal,
I guess,
and you include some of this money. So it's 3 years, $18 million, and you say, well, you know, I didn't get full $9 million, so it's actually 3 years, $21 million, whatever. You get a more palatable deal.
I just think you're going to have a player who's that much more disgruntled and will go maybe for less to go somewhere else.
But if it's none of these theories, then it's what you said. It's a meritocracy, and Edelman had a better summer, and Welker wasn't on the field. I mean, that's if you want to just take everything at its face value, then that's the answer.
Well,
and then option three or four, I don't know which one we're up to now, is something we have no idea about. The whole missing a couple some practices in the preseason and the personal issue. And
well, he's now said, I had a death in the family that cost me a week.
Yeah, that might be more. There might be something to that story above and beyond that we just don't know. I don't know.
Like what? An injury?
Maybe.
The problem
there's no
is
injury listed.
Right.
We just don't know.
Could be now they're kind of sweating it out.
We're going to find out he tore his ACL in week one.
Well, it can't be that bad because he looked all right in the game. But maybe there was something that they did that, you know, they're hoping doesn't come to light. I don't know. A mistake. Let's call it a mistake. Who knows? But it is something that has legs now. And enough people, different people are saying. Usually, like, for example, Dennis and Callahan, they have their sources. And then Gresh and Zoe have their sources.
Right.
But they're all saying the same thing. you know?
Which means they all know something or all know nothing.
Right.
I think that could be the difference.
I actually think it's the latter, because I don't think anybody has the answer.
And I don't think Wes Welker has the answer. I don't think Tom Brady has the answer.
I'm not sure he does.
The only one who does is Bill Belichick and maybe Josh McDaniels.
The thing I agree with you, Fred, is I find it awfully hard to believe that it's strictly about any sort of vindictive nature due to the contract.
Right.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'm not dismissing it because I don't know anything to the contrary. So for me to dismiss it is, I think, irresponsible.
$9.5 million is a lot to be spiteful about.
Well, but they could be upset that he didn't. It might have been the plan all along. Yeah, we'll sign you. We're going to sign you to the franchise so we can get you to a more palatable deal. And then the deal that they kind of thought they were going to, and then they couldn't get it worked out, and they're mad at him.
Well, there could be. I mean,
I don't think that's the case. I'm just saying there's a scenario that could unfold.
It could be that, as you said, Paul, they sign him $9.5 million. Let's continue talking, and the Patriots wanted to continue talking, and Welker's camp said, nope, we're done. We are going to be free agents next year. And the Patriots said, okay, well, if that's the case, if you've already written us off, we're going to start planning for that.
Well, I think maybe his number rose because I'm getting $9.5 million. You think that much of me, so that's the starting point. That's my annual salary moving forward.
I don't buy that because all reports indicate that it went down to the wire on July 16th, whatever the deadline day is.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. I have no idea. There's a million theories out there.
Do you think any of them is right?
You know, as is often the case with this team, it turns out that none of them are. That it's always something that we had no idea about.
Well, it is interesting to hear the ex-players a little bit, and Troy Brown and Ty Law talking about this. And, I think that they brought up the possibility of something that we just don't know about behind the scenes in terms of discipline. Maybe there was something that they didn't like that happened, and that's something that we probably will never know until long after the fact.
Through the preseason, into the first game, into the second game. I could see that for a 1 week he didn't start. He wasn't a part of the game plan that week. Okay, something happened. We'll never know, but they moved on. But this, we're going on a month now.
Well, that's kind of
weirdness here.
Let's go way back to, before they went to Tampa, and we talked about it. And remember, and I was very confused by it all, and it was like the first time that everybody yelled at us for bringing up issues that weren't there. Here we are a month and a half later still talking about it. It's not nonsense. This is a legitimate issue going on. Now, I don't know what the answer to the issue is, but there's something going on that the guy that has been the focal point of your passing game for the last couple of years, at least since Moss is gone, is now pretty much an afterthought.
Is there an issue?
Mike Wallace comes back to the Steelers at the last minute, still is on his old contract, yet he's right back in the starting line.
No, but is there an issue? I mean, can this just be explained as simply as they're not a 100% pass-first team anymore? They want to be a run-based or more complementary running team. He's not as good a blocking player, and his numbers overall aren't down that much. Everybody jumped from 89 to 60, whatever, in the first week. But if you look, and I think Bill even brought this up to try to defend himself, his play time over the 7 year span, the 5 year span that most recently completed, isn't all that different.
All in the 70s. The three previous years were all in the 70s.
So is there an issue, or is this simply, we want to run more, we want Edelman to block for Ridley? Simple as that.
It could be.
But if that were the case, and again, that's put that on the list of, the 10 things that Fred's gone over that make that number 11. Do you think that that's an issue? I mean, do you?
No.
Oh, see, I do.
Why?
Julian Edelman's better player than Wes Welker.
No, better blocker.
Not buying it.
Okay, you can fight
that. That's what I'm saying. It's an issue. I don't think that. I think it's a problem.
If they decided Julian Edelman is a little thicker, a little stronger, and a little better as a blocker, so he's going to be in there.
No, but
when
I'm saying I think it's affecting things. I think it's affecting Brady, and I think it's certainly affecting Welker because he's not out there. But
the one thing that Brady did kind of, not totally agree with, but say could be a possibility, was the whole resting him, making sure that he's good for later in the year. He said, that could be part of it, but I don't think he was saying that.
No, we didn't do that.
I know. I mean, you got to win games,
right? Now, some people have this team already 1-4 to open the season based off recent events. If that's true, well, it's all good and dandy. He'll be fresh when he hits the golf course come January.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I just wish that we had more information. I wish that we could provide more analysis because
let's kidnap Bill and hold a gun to his head.
we just don't know.
Yeah, and there's been nothing in Wes Welker's demeanor that would tell us that he's upset.
No, he's confused. He's lost.
Really?
Yeah. And what he's saying, I would agree with you. In his demeanor, I kind of agree with the way Andy put it at the beginning of the game. Sort of sitting there with his hands on his hips on the sideline like,
really?
Let's go. It's time to go here.
That was what I took visually. But that's a dangeous game to play.
Absolutely.
From 700
and
feet
I hate the body language game, so to be fair, I have to.
But he's in the dark. You know, he said, you know, I didn't know if I was going to start, and then I started to get some vibes that Julian was going to start. And I mean, that's something you can't argue. The lack of communication, whether good or bad, goes on. I mean, that goes back to Ted Johnson, people not knowing necessarily what their role is going to be.
Yeah, but you should be prepared whether or not. I don't think.
No, I know, but he was prepared for the last few years when last year he didn't start once. Dan Gronkowski started in a three tight end set. But for the most part, he starts. That's what I do. I show up, I start. You know, I catch 120 passes and I start, and now I'm. This is what it looks like when you start a game and you're not in the field. Like that's different. That's changed.
Unless he's talked about.
If I'm a head coach
before the game,
now, granted, I'd probably fail miserably as a head coach. But if I'm taking my guy who was a 90% playtime guy who started 15 of 16 games and caught 120 passes, and he's not going to start, I'd say, just so you know, we're going to open in that run set we like with Edelman, and
the whole
we'll get you in the second quarter.
The whole thing about
it's simple. It's like three lines of conversation.
Some of the explanations just really go against the grain of everything we've been taught as how they go into these games, which is you play to win.
Right. You don't take anybody for granted.
Brady goes to the guy that's open. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
So if Welker's out there and he's being triple teamed, great. That means it's easier for Brady to go to whoever else he needs to go to. So, you know, taking him off the field doesn't make sense in light of all the other things we've been taught about how you approach football games.
Right.
So it is. So there is something to it. I'm not dismissing it as this is just a media fabrication. No, it isn't in this case. It could be very simple, but we just don't know. We just don't know. We got calls lining up here.
Well, we should just first get to the news.
Yeah. Okay.
Reportedly, from his agent, Kellen Winslow has signed a deal with the New England Patriots. By all accounts, he has a very concerning knee injury, but he's a guy that played 16 games last year, caught 75 passes, was essentially Aaron Hernandez for the Bucs, you know, with a little bit less production, but very similar numbers. And that's what I find strange. I don't know the exact root of this knee injury. As I said to Paul, he played 16 games last year, catching 75 passes. I read in Seattle that he was lighting people up on the practice field, that they were very surprised he got cut. Well, where is this knee injury coming? Like, when did the knee injury hit and become so? Because Michael Lombardi said they're probably going to sign him to, like, a certain waiver because the knee is so ugly in there.
Well, that's probably it. It's just not stable, and one hit could be that.
No, I know, but he's played 16 games in five of the last 6 years and caught a lot of caught 60-plus passes every year. At some point, you'd say, well, it's unstable, but it's working, Whatever he needs to get out of it, he's getting out of it to be on the field and catch passes.
And some of the reports on Hernandez, most all of them are saying that it's not broken, but
low ankle sprain.
If
it's low, that's
good.
Yeah, that's become the new thing I've noticed. Like in the last month, everybody's declaring low ankle sprains so everybody doesn't worry that it's a high.
Well, we've been told that high ankle sprains take a lot longer to heal.
Yeah, and. But there has been a lot of differing opinions. I know ESPN, like Adam Schefter yesterday was saying that he's expected, according to a source, expected to miss a few weeks. Now I heard him today say specifically he'll be gone at least a month. Well, something changed in 24 hours because he was writing a few weeks yesterday.
Well, on the game last night, they said several weeks. They weren't going to say
several,
any number.
Bunch.
You know, so I wouldn't expect
to
see him.
He is a fast healer, though.
I wouldn't expect
to see
him back.
Last year, we thought he was out, and all of a sudden he was back running deep balls down the middle.
Yep. I wouldn't expect to see him back, though, inside a month.
I don't think so. I mean,
I have no idea.
Who knows? I don't either.
They could tape it up and he'll be out there next week.
I'm always optimistic. A guy will be back soon, and then he goes on IR.
But
so,
with him
specifically,
I thought he was going to miss significant time last year, and he was back in a week.
Right. I thought Jeff Demps would be on the team. So what do I know?
But
you knew enough to be worried about the offense.
I think signing Winslow immediately tells me that.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because Bill said yesterday in his conference call he had no preliminary idea of how long Hernandez would be out. And already they've signed Winslow, so you'd think he had a preliminary
idea.
Oh,
yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
What, I can't quote press conferences now and transcripts?
508-298-0398.
I take the man at his words.
Is the ace ticket hotline. We haven't gotten into the other things, which is, you know, the O-line.
Or the game.
And
the loss.
Yeah, the game.
A shocking loss. First time ever.
Oh, and by the way, Andy and I, for the first time, I'm sure we'll say this many, many times during the course of the week, we were wrong. We thought this would be an easy win. I'm
sure we'll say it a lot next Sunday when Pac-Man is
beating
us.
Absolutely bludgeoned Pac-Man to death in the Sunday pregame social, the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. And we were wrong.
Let's go.
The first for everything. The first game the Patriots lost at Gillette Stadium at home in a home opener, as opposed to on the road in a home opener, and I was wrong for the first time.
Let's go to let some of the callers drive the car right now. Nick is in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
What's up? Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Now, what are you getting for Welker this week on the trade market?
for what he's produced, I mean, not much. He's a 5'7" receiver. He's not gonna. Nobody's gonna want somebody who somebody's over 30 years old. So
average 20 yards a catch on Sunday.
Yeah, and what would you pay for him, Paul? What would you give up?
You know that I'm not a huge fan, so that's not a good not a good argument.
Exactly, we're not gonna be able to trade.
But by the way, if I were the Patriots, he'd be one of the last guys I would trade. Just you know, in interest of fairness, I'm not a huge. I wouldn't be looking to trade.
That he's third string.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't be third string if I were making.
However,
he wouldn't be on the team because
prior to Hernandez,
maybe a valid fact.
Prior to Hernandez getting hurt, if a team offered you a first round pick for him, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah.
Now
no,
I would.
There's no way. I would today. I would do that.
I still would too.
Really?
Absolutely. No one's offering you a first round pick for him.
All right.
God no. All right, Nick. Sorry we interrupted. What was your point?
I wasn't making a point. You guys were asking me something. I had something else to watch.
I know, so get to your point. That's my point.
Well, what I wanted to see is there any silver lining you can take from this game?
Yes. I think they fought to the end, and I think we continue to see the defense making plays, which is a positive. Absolutely, it's a positive.
Chandler Jones is my positive. As I said to Paul in the press box, he dominated a series so much that they benched him. They didn't want him to get too high on himself because they took him out the next series.
Jones,
he got the Wes Welker treatment.
I think Jones, Hightower, Spikes, and Mayo were all positives.
Mayo.
I think Wilfork and Love continue to be positives.
Your boy Love had a huge game. He was as dominant as you can be without really you know, showing up and making huge plays.
Right, but he's forcing things to the outside and letting these guys clean up.
I am going to go down the... Don't yell at me. This is going a little bit down the Gronkowski road. Brandon Spikes, he's going to be hurt. He is so freaking physical. He sees like a guard, and he just launches himself into him. Bodies can't take that forever. It just doesn't work. He's fun to watch. He brings a great thing to the defense, but I have trouble counting on him every snap.
Yeah, but I like the fact that, like I said, they fought right up to the last second and it paid off. You know, they got the ball back. It was a great hit by Spikes. I looked at the photo. There were five Patriots around the ball, and
they were licking their chops at a dumbass play call.
But But they were there to make the play, and I think that's a positive. What do you think, Nick?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing that really resonated with me is the fact that we could play like poop, you know, for 58 minutes of the game, except the defense. The defense really kept us in it, but the offense just played like poop all the way up until the end. And then from there, we were actually able to get an opportunity. I don't know what the coaches were thinking. I'm not sure if it was Belichick or McDaniels, or I don't know what happened with the time management there at the end. That was really disappointing, but we could have won it. And it just gives me a little bit of confidence going forward that we actually do have that ability. Even if we're not doing well at the beginning, we can still pull it out in the end because of our defense.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, I think that – thanks for the call, Nick. I think I'm looking forward to this game against Baltimore because it's a really good test. You know – Bill says you really don't know your team till like 6 weeks in, which is true. But in this week three, this is as good a test as you're going to get. Balanced team, good defense, good offense. Let's see what the Patriots are made of. Both teams coming off a loss, so you know it's not like one team's riding on a high. They're both pissed off. It's in Baltimore. I think this is a good test.
I agree.
It's definitely the best test for the defense, which everybody's feeling good about. You know, you didn't have to stop a lot. The Chris Johnson performance looks less impressive by the week as he continues to get 0 yards. And you have to take Larry Fitzgerald away. They didn't kill you. This is a legit test where you have to stop running back, receivers, quarterback.
If the offense could put up 27 or more points, let's say, I think that tells us something. Without Hernandez, that tells us, okay, they do have a good foundation here.
We know they have a good foundation offensively.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the foundation.
I'm worried about the O-line, and that's kind of the
foundation of an
offense.
I'm worried about the O-line, too, but Conley should be
back. Philadelphia just put 24 on him, so I mean, let's not – this is Baltimore. Everybody said all summer this is not going to be the defense that they've had in the last few years.
True.
Well, they've started the season. They don't have the defense that that people thought they were going to have.
Orlando has a question about Kevin Cobb. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I can't believe we signed the soldier, Private Winslow, huh?
That's right.
I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior.
Motorcycle, stunt motorcyclist.
Now I'm going to get nervous. All right. Hey, listen, fellas, man. I got a comment and I got a question, all right? My comment is the offense. What surprised me is that once Hernandez went out, with all this talent that this offense seems to have, I couldn't believe it. They just couldn't find, a way to get the ball to somebody else on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? If you have that much talent on the offense and you lose one guy, it should be like, okay, next one, step on in, and we keep rolling.
That's what I was thinking.
It seemed like when he went out, it was like, oh, my God, we lost Hernandez. What do we do? Yeah. And I'm just sitting there like, what the hell? You know what I mean? It's like, come on, stuff.
We could get to week 15 and realize that, wow, the Cardinals' defense is really good. That could be the case.
It's definitely good. It's definitely competitive. It goes back to last year. They have some good playmakers. They're playing good, solid. But you're supposed to be the best. You're supposed to be the best offense. So, defense be damned. I'm putting up points.
Right.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, look, I don't watch a lot of Cardinals games. So, I've only heard little things about their defense. I didn't think their defense was that good. But it still shocked me at how ineffective we were. Until the fourth quarter. If our offense is supposed to be this good, we shouldn't have any trouble losing one guy. We should just be able to plug somebody else in there and keep going.
You look at the Welker drop just before the block punt. If he catches that, it's a first down, and they're not punting the way they did. So there were a lot of plays. Lloyd with a drop, and, I still don't think he's on the same page with Brady. He's making more catches than Ocho, but there's still events. They're still twisting,
And if they had done that, in fairness to Ocho, if they had thrown, five screens to him last year, he would have had more than 16 catches for the season.
13 targets in this game for Lloyd. That's a lot.
I think four of them were screens. Legitimately. I think he had three or four screens, and he had a couple of toe tappers on the sideline that obviously that's something that he's very, very good at.
Yeah.
He's really good at keeping his feet in bounds.
Hey, guys, one more question here, man, and it has to do with Cobb. I wanted to know, they're obviously, he got the job done, he won the game, good for him, blah, blah, blah. But there were times during that game where he looked a little rattled. And, he threw some passes that were a little errant. And I kept thinking to myself, I kept trying to decide, is it the Patriots' offense that looks this good, or is it just Kevin Cobb? You know what I mean? Had that been Aaron Rodgers or somebody else like that, would they be able to make some of those passes that he basically, couldn't make?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's somewhere in the middle.
That's what Andy started to talk about a little bit with the Chris Johnson situation, it being less impressive. This is a very, very bad offense that they faced in the first 2 weeks. And it wasn't just the Patriots that shut them down. They were both shut down by their other opponents, too. San Diego shut down Tennessee, and Seattle shut down Arizona. Arizona does have a pretty good defense. And we talked about that all week coming into the game, that we wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots struggled a little early. The difference was that you lost Hernandez and you never really got it going.
Mm-hmm.
I could envision a first half the way we saw. Maybe not quite to that extent with only 6 points.
Right.
But I could definitely see, a slow, sluggish start offensively, because I do think Arizona's decent defensively. But offensively, I'm not, I'm excited as anything about Chandler Jones. He looks like an absolute star. His athleticism shows up on every play. I'm very excited about some of the things that I see defensively, but I am going to keep it in check until I see them play, some of the other offenses that
maybe
can move the ball a little
bit. I'm looking forward to this game. I'm not fearful of this game. I'm really looking forward to the game.
I was actually a little disappointed in the defense in one sense. I thought they would dominate up front a little more. Strip sack. I thought
there were
would
a couple
be a
of
little
things.
More. They were solid. They were very good. Yeah. But I thought they would make more plays up front, because I thought that offensive line was putrid. And I even, again, the Chandler Jones thing, I don't know why he kind of came out of the game when it really started, like he was starting to roll against Batista. So
Yeah.
I expected a little bit more. We joked he could have 5 sacks this week, and right. We didn't quite get to that level.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, they let Arizona go right down the field in the first drive of the game, and they got a field goal.
As they've been doing lately, not just this year.
You know, and then no, but I'm just saying, you know, in general, you look at the numbers at the end of the game, and they only scored 20 points, and they didn't have very many total yards, I don't think, in the game either. 245. So that's a really low number of total yards. That's a good
Patriots
job.
Patriots are number 2 in defense in the league right now, way they do it.
Well, you know.
And they should be.
Patriots, San Diego, and Seattle might be the best defenses in football, and we'll relook at these offenses.
Based on who they played, they should be up there. Right. But that drive at the beginning of the game was sort of confusing to me. And then I thought there was a drive early in the fourth quarter where, you know, it's after the block punt, the Patriots go 3-and-out, and they get the ball back. Okay, well, it's only 13-9. You know, we're okay here. You know, get a stop early fourth quarter. We'll win this game. And they went 75 yards for a touchdown, including a 5-yard sneak up the middle, which something that doesn't usually – we do that to other teams. That doesn't happen to the Patriots very often. And all of a sudden, it's 20-9, and you're in a hole. And then the last one that really bugged me, which gets glossed over because of the colossal fumble by Ryan Williams – they ran the ball in a situation where they weren't going to throw at the end of the game. They knew that everybody knew they were going to run. They ran the ball for 8 yards on first down. Then they get bailed out by a false start penalty to make it second in 7 instead of, or whatever it was, instead of 2nd and 2. Yeah, went to 2nd and 7. Mm-hmm. And they ran for like 11 yards for a first down on the next play.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Right.
That cannot happen.
Yeah, that's a communication thing.
That should have ended the game. If Ryan Williams doesn't fumble... Now they punt.
Right.
Patriots get the ball back on like their own 20-yard line with 20 seconds left and no timeouts. Right. Game's over.
Right, because once they get that first down, I remember everybody saying, all right, that's it. They get the first down. But
you can't allow that first down on running
plays.
Who does
a pitch in a situation?
I thought that was really, really strange. But, you know, give Brandon Spikes a lot of credit for making a terrific play. I don't want to take that away. But
he shouldn't have the opportunity to make that play.
There were a lot of... I thought there was for a game you only allowed 250 yards. There were a couple of things I wasn't real thrilled about defensively, and I'll tell you, after the interception, Brady throws the interception in the first play. That third down play, I believe it was this possession. Todd Heap was wide open going down the seam.
By the way,
for
that,
an easy
that
pitch and catch
the
touchdown.
The target was Edelman, right?
Yeah.
I've heard people say Hernandez. I've heard people say Welker.
The book was wrong.
Well, Welker wasn't on the field.
I know.
So no one said that.
It was Edelman.
It was Edelman. There was no question, but the book had it wrong. The book said Hernandez.
But it's kind of irrelevant. The ball got tipped,
at
the line.
That's just an aside.
But in this day and age
where we list targets, it's now kind of a stat.
But what I'm saying is I think people were trying to make a big thing out of it was Edelman, not Welker. As if, like, maybe Edelman wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Right,
no, it got deflected at the line.
Right. It was I thought it was lazy on Brady's part. I thought a little lazy.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
He's not perfect.
Wow, I'll tell you.
Thanks for
the call, Orlando. Therapy.
When is therapy starting?
We're 37 minutes in.
No,
when's
again,
therapy start?
Again, we're looking forward to Baltimore.
As a test. Not because we're going to show everybody that we're badasses.
No.
You see it as a test. Not necessarily we're going to rape and pillage.
That's okay. We like tests. We like to be tested. We're competitors.
Okay, coming off of a suspect performance by the offensive line, I think, and including the right side, which at various times is composed of Wendell, Thomas, and either Vollmer, Cannon.
Right.
Even if you get Conley back, are you still concerned about that stretch over there?
I'm concerned about that line until I see at least 3 games with a set 5. They're unsettled.
And you end up with... 4 sacks, I believe, a bunch of tackles for a loss or no gain. You know, there wasn't a lot of room to run for Ridley on some of those plays. They lost the line of scrimmage.
It's an unsettled, particularly the right side, but it's an unsettled line, and you need to get settled. Dan in Virginia is calling. Hey, Dan. Dan.
Hey, fellas.
How you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Well, how am I doing? If I had any hair left before the game, I wouldn't have certainly had any left by the end of the game. What a finish. Jeez.
I know.
I was only able to listen to it. I wasn't able to watch it. So I just wanted to throw 5 things at you and get you to rank them in terms of what you think their influence was on the result of the game. Arizona's defensive performance, the offensive coaching, including the play calling and the personnel, the offensive execution on the field, the O-line performance, and the special teams performance. I was wondering sort of how you saw each of those aspects. Playing into the loss.
Well, they all played into it.
Offensive line, 1. Offensive execution, 2.
Arizona's
special teams 3.
So Arizona's defense getting no credit.
Well, I mean, to me, those go hand in hand with the offensive line. Somebody's going to win that matchup. The front was dominated by the Cardinals. So put them together as one.
See, I would put the play calling higher than execution.
Yeah,
I think the play calling
was suspect. That's what it sounded like to me, too, that it was the play calling and the personnel. But like I said, I could only listen, not watch.
Well, yeah, clearly the execution's
lacking. See, I put the play calling down the list.
I'm not a big fan of criticizing play calling. Go execute.
You know,
don't let people tackle the running back in the backfield. Don't let execute. Don't have the quarterback pretending he's being pressured when he isn't. Get out there and execute.
You know, if you're going to blame... You're
supposed to be the best team in football.
If you're going to get on Josh McDaniels, you know, if he has input on who is playing, okay, then mate, let's talk about it. But the actual play calling, I can't get on that. I really can't.
Well, I just don't like... I thought there were too many third down runs. I think that this team does something very well, and they got away from it at key junctures in the game, I thought.
Bill O'Brien was still a coordinator, Paul wouldn't be criticizing
the play. No, I would absolutely be. And I'm not dismissing the players. So don't make it out to be that I'm giving the players a free pass. And it's not all Josh's fault. It's the game plan, obviously. And I don't give Josh any more credit for fashioning the game plan than I did Bill O'Brien. It's Bill Belichick, not Josh.
All right, Dan, thanks for that call. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you tell us.
A little frustrated.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a tough game to watch. You know, the range of emotions at the end, and you know, this whole thing with Wes as a fan, you know, I'm really aggravated with it. It just flies in the face of everything that we've been told as fans. The best play is play. What you do to win, you get the guys out there that you need to get out there to win. I don't see how Julian Edelman makes this team a better offense. And does it make it a better run offense? I don't know. I don't know if he's a better run blocker than Walker. But, geez, you know, you're talking about a guy that led the league in catches, and you don't have him out there. And if it is because of money, and if it is because he didn't sign the deal, that's awful.
Yeah, I agree.
It really is.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but I do agree. If it is, then that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't see any logic or that being in the best interest of the team. I just, you know, so I would agree. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, again, we have no idea
exactly what's
going on.
We don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And like you guys, you know, I watch all the post-game stuff and you listen to Ty Law. I think, Paul, you had mentioned Troy Brown. And disciplinary, something we don't know, possibly. And I hate to speculate like that, but it is disappointing from a fan that you say, why isn't this guy out there? You know, this guy's never been a jerk that we know of. We go off, obviously, you know, hey, like you guys always say, you know, you don't live with the guy. You don't go home with him. You don't know what he's like. But you go off of what you have,
right, with
the media, and he seems to be like the ultimate patriot. And he's getting treated like, you know, he's not.
But do we know that? I mean, there's a little bit of an assumption there.
And then Andy,
I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, no,
he's not God's gift to football. He hasn't earned the right to start
to
every game
play.
That's ever been.
No,
like,
but everything we know about the guy, I mean, the guy had this ACL, worked his ass off during the offseason, came back sooner
100%.
Than anyone thought.
No, but contract,
but all of that stuff is all fine. But what if Andy's point is the one that is the only one that matters to Bill Belichick, and that he thinks that Edelman is the better option? What if that's it? Forget about whether or not you agree with Bill.
Then they made a colossal mistake giving him $9.5 million because they could have, you know, let him go.
Well, not necessarily. No. I mean, what if they, first of all, they when they had to give him the franchise tag, they may not have known Edelman was going to be a better option.
That was February.
No, but, number one.
But it's
number
still
two,
a mistake.
What? Well, why?
Well, not if he's still an option passing-wise.
Yes.
He's still part of your team.
He's still caught five passes for 95
right.
yards.
You're still putting together a roster.
All right, Paul, could you have not gotten somebody else to do that?
I don't know.
Use the money.
I don't listen. Yeah. You're asking me two different questions because I don't agree with the original premise that Edelman's a better player than Welker.
Sure,
better run blocker.
But I'm
saying that they
a
could.
Better option. What, for whatever reason, whatever the reasons are.
Oh, if he's just a flat out better player, then I'm with you. You wasted $9.5 million.
I'm saying
you're developing an offense and a philosophy, and for that, you want Edelman on the field. You're still going to use Welker as a spread receiver and your slot machine and all that. but just not to the 16-game degree you have in the past.
No, I'm just saying if they – I don't think that. But I'm saying if they've come to the determination that right now Edelman's our better option.
Yeah, that's stupid.
See, I think it's really hard
I agree it's stupid.
Have a guy come out, you know, not be a consistent part of the offense and have him come out and expect him to produce when he's out there. Because part of, you know, an offense is setting things up and – you know, you do one thing in the first quarter to set it up for the later in the game. And if Welker's only going to be out there when you're going to use him, oh, that shows your hand.
Right.
You know?
And it also shows your hand the other way if you now have Julian Edelman as your run-blocking slot receiver.
Right.
But, yeah, there's no question. I'm not a big fan of too much of the playing down the road, whether it's resting him, whether it's, you know, getting Edelman on the same – because now look at it. You're without Hernandez. So theoretically, if Edelman's going to keep playing, if Welker's kind of going to somewhat be limited, you don't have a lot of guys that are all that comfortable with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You have Brandon Lloyd. You have Julian Edelman. You may have Kellen Winslow. You know, Gronk is the only one who's now a proven go-to same pay. You lost Branch. You decided he wasn't part of this. You don't have a lot of those guys that when, you know, crunch times comes, Brady just looks at them and they know what each other's going to do.
So – all right, Christian.
Oh, and, the defense looked great. I mean, 245 yards for the game. Didn't they give that up like last year in the first quarter to Vince Young passing?
Pretty much.
So, I mean, I feel good about that anyway.
So. Yep, that continues. So that's a positive. Thanks, Christian. You know,
again, though, that's a much better offense.
No, I know.
I mean, Vince Young aside,
but the bottom line is
Kevin Cobb is not any better than Vince Young.
But
so
the difference is last year they gave up under 300 yards once. They've now given up under 300 2 weeks in a row to open a season. They didn't play any crappy teams last year.
They gave
up 400 yards.
You can say what you want.
I'm very excited about the start
defensively. 4 yards for Fitzgerald. I don't care who the quarterback is. That's impressive, right? No?
I just think the quarterback
is
terrible.
Other teams have trouble doing that. Because he gets his 1,000 yards every year.
No, I know.
1,400.
Listen, I know that, but I don't know what other teams do.
Whatever.
Oh, they're not all idiots. They're not all going blind.
Right.
Who's this Fitzgerald guy? Should we cover him?
Right, you got to imagine that's part of the defensive game plan.
Exactly, and I'm giving Bill Belichick credit for that. I don't think other guys might be able to do it the way that Bill did. I give Bill some credit here.
Yeah, I mean, so that's impressive. Whatever the quarterback is, he seems to get his yards every year. So if you can hold him to 4 yards in a game, it was targeted, what, five times?
As a terrible pass defense that couldn't hold anybody in check last year.
Right.
To me, on some level, that's because a year ago, he had 17 yards a catch, 1,400 yards. He had a great year. You could argue Chris Johnson might not be that good anymore.
Right.
He had a pretty disappointing last year, and he's off to a crappy start this year through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. This is much more impressive, holding Fitzgerald to one catch for 4 yards than the 4 yards for Johnson.
Let's go back to the phones in the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing good.
Yeah, hey, Pac-Man wasn't the only one who was warning about that spread. I think Jeff in Vegas said to nibble at Arizona on the money line and cashed in at 6-1 on that.
Well, so did Fred. So
He did a quarter something or something.
The money line isn't winning the spread. The money line is picking the winner.
Okay.
He did something about a unit or something.
A quarter of a unit, I believe, he put on it. Is that correct, Jeff?
Put a Geno on it?
Jeff?
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Equals a 1.5 unit win off of a quarter of a unit. So we actually were 3-1 on the day.
And Jeff's an expert on units.
Okay. All right. So lunch is coming on Thursday?
Yes, that is correct. Definitely lunch on Thursday.
All right. Thank you.
Don't compare me to Eric Scalavino.
Eric's out
as far as units go. Andy Hart tweeting in on the injury update from Aaron Hernandez and a little tidbit from Rosie Colvin from the UPS store.
Yes, and I should actually read that on the air since I retweeted. Albert Breer tweets, diagnosis on Aaron Hernandez's injury is low ankle sprain, but he also has damage to the high ankle area.
Oh,
hope that's not too confusing.
Yeah.
That's what he said, not me.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there for this Hernandez injury. It's kind of worrying me.
I just want to know who's going to drive him home. He can't walk home now.
You know, by the way, Josh McDaniels was asked about Edelman a little while ago on the conference call and said that he's earned playing time and he made some plays out there on Sunday. Take that for whatever it's worth.
And we'll have that full Josh McDaniels up on Patriots.com probably any minute now.
I didn't say he didn't have catches. I said he didn't have plays. There's a difference.
Well, my question is, how many passes is Wes Welker going to drop? He dropped the Super Bowl pass. Then the first pass of the year thrown to him right in his grill, he drops it. And now he costs us 7 points in his last third down drop. I mean, enough is enough, Wes. Come on.
So you're benching him. You hate Wes Welker.
Well, I mean, it's getting, I mean, the Super Bowl, first pass of the year, right in his hands.
How many passes has Aaron Hernandez dropped in the last 12 to 13 months?
But, Andy, his burst and his ability to get separation when he's gone.
Right, and his ability to let the ball go right through his hands when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, his ability to deflect the ball that gets picked off when you're trying to go to a Super Bowl, he's done the same thing. Nobody's perfect.
And I remember him dropping a ball in the end zone against Washington last year.
Whoa, and you're saying Wes Welker doesn't get open? Because I'm pretty sure I saw him get open the other day when they were doing nothing offensively. He all of a sudden had a 36-yarder and then a 20-yarder.
And people say he was open on the two-point conversion.
So as much
as heard that a lot.
You know, everybody wants to rip Wes Welker for whatever, whether it's contract related or just the Super Bowl drop, you know, we can play that game with pretty much every player on the field.
Yeah, you are defending this nice little pocket change player, Fred. Very good job, Andy.
That's me. I'm the one.
Paul's the one who
these guys.
Had him on
these guys team. Never said that. That was me. Don't blame them for that. They're the ones arguing with you, not me.
I think Wes Welker's the same player today that he was last year and the year before. I think he's a guy who, if you want that role, now you can diminish the role like Paul does. But if you want that role,
I agree. With
he can fulfill that role.
I agree with what Andy's saying wholeheartedly.
He can catch five passes for 50 yards like Julian Edelman did.
I'll tell you something
I don't
else.
Think any of them are plays. You know who made plays yesterday? Wes Welker made some plays down the field.
He absolutely did.
That's a difference. That's a play.
And that's why
Julian Edelman had catches.
Yeah, and I agree with that. They both had five catches, but one made plays and the other didn't. I agree with that. And the other thing that I'll say about Welker is, as critical as I have been over the years, to me it's not about his ability. It's more about his durability. And I'm not sure that they have, you know, Aaron Hernandez is a guy they looks like they wanted to have out there.
There goes
as
my
the focal
catches.
Point of the offense.
Right.
Well, this is the third year in a row now that he's going to miss at least one game.
Yep.
And, you know, and Julian Edelman's a guy who has not been able to be on the field on a consistent basis. Wes Welker can. He missed one.
Hurt. I'll tell you, Baltimore, New England is +3 at Baltimore Sunday night. That's going to be a Hornets Nets. Baltimore's waiting for the Patriots. They want him real, real bad.
Sure they do. Yep.
Bet the house on the Ravens and hope the Patriots win. I hope I lose a lot of money Sunday night.
Bet the house on the Ravens and hope
the house on Baltimore.
Why don't you just stay off of that game?
I can't, Fred. They want.
Wow, you're really a chronic, huh?
By New England. They want to destroy New England, and those fans are going to be.
That's why you stay away from that game. Don't
Fred,
go.
I want to lose the money. I'm going to bet a ton of money on it, and I hope I lose every dime.
All right.
Lock it in.
Just pay lunch first.
Yeah, get our lunch
you don't know
before
what
you make that.
You don't know what it's like to be a gambler. You can't lay off games that
all
you
right,
think
Jeff,
are locks.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Degenerate.
Yeah. Let's stay with the phones.
No, but seriously.
Let's stay with the phones. I know we got a lot of emails coming in as well. Rod's in Atlanta. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Were you there for that debacle last night in the Georgia Dome?
No, I wasn't. No, I was. I saw it on TV, but it was a great game, huh?
Well, I think it was maybe the final straw that broke the camel's back in terms of getting the refs back on the field.
Yeah, it was horrible. The delays were crazy. But anyway, Hernandez, he got hurt three plays in, right?
No, it was the second series, I think.
It was the second series, but it was the third.
Oh, you're right.
He's right.
Yep. Yep.
So everyone's assuming that the offense, you know, played horrible because he was out, but we really don't know if, even if he was in there, you know, how Brady would have played and all of that.
Correct.
Right. We don't know. We just don't know.
I mean, to me, I think that people are blaming the coaching staff and McDaniels, and I just blame execution. I mean, Arizona, you know, they get played too, guys. They get paid too. I mean, they played great. I think they had great coverage.
Mm-hmm. I think your mindset and outlook, Rod, is the most healthy. You know, they get paid too, and really it does come down to execution. Like I said, when Hernandez went out, I was like, okay, they'll be okay. They have guys that can step up, but they didn't execute. You know, and I think that's the healthy way to look at it.
They executed in spurts.
Yeah.
Little spurts. Like, you know, when they start going to Gronk and you get that touchdown, okay, now they figured it out. Now they're going to Gronk. This is what we expected. A little earlier, but maybe we got a chance here. And it just, they didn't do it, as they say, often enough.
Yeah. And, you know, we're fans. We want to know why things are happening. You know, the way that the players are taught, it's don't worry about it. We'll tell you what to do. And when we tell you to do it, do it. You know, don't worry who's starting or who's playing in the third quarter or who's doing. That's what they're taught. As fans, it's hard for us to look at it that way.
And as people, it's hard for them to look at it that way.
Well, sure it is.
When you've started X number of games in a row, you know, coming back from an ACL injury so you could make sure you could be out there, it's hard for them to just say, oh, yeah, I'll just play whenever they play me.
Well, I remember there was a time when the Patriots were winning championships and no one was going to the Pro Bowl, and Belichick would say, "I tell you know, don't worry about it, just go out there, do your job, things will come." And now, you could argue we have too many people going to the Pro Bowl, you know,
and we don't win championships,
right? You know, so overrated. I'd rather have it the other way.
And as someone tweeted me yesterday, I forget who, I would credit you. You know, they've been saying for years that we've turned into the Colts. And the transformation was completed with Gostkowski turning into Vanderjagt.
Right.
You know, it's just it's unbelievable how many different things have happened.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with that, because a lot of teams, you know, especially after that blocked punt, the game could have gotten out of hand. But
yeah, and if they played a team that played well, they would have gotten out of hand. They played a terrible team that played poorly, and they ended up sticking in the game as a result.
Okay, one more point, guys. What about Belichick, you know, just going with Brady, you know, taking a knee and getting the ball centered instead of pushing it more up the field after that touchdown got called back?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought they should have gone for more.
This is another big topic.
We scored a touchdown. It got called back.
I mean, I have zero problem with those
things. Yeah, you score a touchdown, it gets called back, but do you give up?
I wasn't yelling.
That wasn't at you.
That was Bill Belichick's answer post-game.
Right. That question was asked post-game, and Bill snapped.
I think that was a case of, like, you know, Bill did go for it. Like you said, he thought they had the touchdown, probably thinks that the hold on Gronkowski was a cheap call, and probably said, you know what, I cannot trust these refs to do the right thing.
But running the ball, see, here's where he's disingenuous. Running the ball, he wasn't expecting, he's the first guy to tell you, you're not expecting a 30-yard touchdown on that play.
Right.
So running the ball was conservative. It wasn't like we scored a touchdown. He makes it sound like, you know, we were five wide and Brady, you know, threaded the needle and hit a guy down the slot.
A cheap pass interference, offensive pass interference cost him the play.
You know, I mean, they ran the ball in an effort to get a little bit closer.
Sure.
That's all they were doing. They didn't think it was going to pop and go for a touchdown.
But there actually was, I retweeted it, so if anybody's interested, they can check, as Eric would say, check my timeline from an ESPN stats and information. Has one of those, kind of what we had with Gridiron Mind, probability of winning and kicks and all that. And the make rate on a field goal of 40 to 40 whatever in that situation is only 60%.
Is that right?
And if you get 10 more yards, it jumps up to over 80%. So there was something to be had with getting closer, pushing closer, and they chose not to do it.
The false start penalty.
Right. Even. That hurt.
You know, and I did see that. I saw that stat.
But, I mean, to me, a 20% jump, that's a league average. That's not with just good kickers. But that's a league. That's a pretty good. And you think of a great kicker.
It's a big
jump. So it's probably more of a jump for him because he's good. He's not one of the Jags.
Plus the way he was kicking that day and
or,
the fact
less,
that he had
he might make more from 40 to 49 than the average guy. That works both ways.
But he doesn't based on their numbers.
Oh, they had Gostkowski.
His numbers were down in the low 70s or something there, and they jump up even more. So it's
because, you know, the way maybe this wasn't the same thing that you got, but someone sent me that Sunday night, and it was 30 to 39 and then 40 to 49.
I don't know exactly.
That's the way the breakdown was, which, you know, to me, there's a big difference between like 49 and 42.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's the same percent. I mean, you know, the misses from 40, I'd like to see how many of them were misses from, say, like 43 and in, as opposed to.
No idea.
You know, beyond 45, to get that percentage that much lower.
But that
kick was going to be good. That particular kick was like Billy Cundy's.
You know what?
Was it going to be good from 5 yards away?
And I forget which player on Arizona said maybe, you know, the fact that we block a lot of kicks got in his head.
Couple players,
but that doesn't make sense because the other kicks were longer, which means lower trajectory, which means more of a chance of them being blocked.
The game wasn't on the line.
But this one gets up higher, quicker.
But
so,
it doesn't matter. The kick is different with the game on the line.
I know.
You can't argue that. I mean,
but you had success already.
But not with the game on the line.
He had a great game to that point. He had a bunch of touchbacks. He had 2 50-plus-yard field goals. Listen, it's very simplistic to do it, and everybody does it. Listen, if you make the kick, you win the game, and you're the hero. You miss it, and you're a stiff. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, we had an SPFW asking today, has he ever made a game-winning kick? Do you know how many he's attempted?
Well, he's kicked a lot that resulted in wins, right?
No.
No?
He hasn't had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
He had an overtime one. He has one overtime game winner. And that was against Baltimore in 2010, I believe, here.
Mm-hmm.
he had a game-winning kick in the playoffs with a minute 10 left in a tie game. He kicked a 31-yarder, or it might have been a 35-yarder. It was 30-something.
Yep.
In San Diego in his rookie year. That's it. Then Sunday.
Mm. Those are the only games he's kicked.
That's what according to the Patriots media guide.
All right. Interesting stuff. Thanks for the call, Rod from Atlanta. He hung up a long time ago, actually.
The thing is, that's the first time he's ever had an attempt
trailing.
Where they were trailing and he needed to
right.
to put win us it. Ahead. Yeah, yeah, to win it.
And even, like, it's a pressure situation, but to me it's almost not the top-end pressure because, A, it's week two, but, B, you just got a gift, as Logan Mankin said. You shouldn't even really be kicking this field goal, so it's not like it was the perfect drive that gave you just the perfect chance.
It reminded me, you know, and I remember, and I know you get over this fast. When you're a fan, you get really mad, but you get over it right away. Do you remember the Tuna Bowl game, Fred, in 97?
Oh, yeah.
The first one.
What a roller coaster that was.
Well, I was so mad after that game. They had a big lead. They blew it. Then they fumbled a kickoff late. The Jets tied it with a late touchdown. They kicked off. We fumbled the kick. It looked like the Jets were going to win, and we blocked the field goal.
Right.
And then the Patriots ended up winning in overtime. I was so mad, I wasn't even happy that they won. I was so mad with how badly they played down the stretch and how poorly they executed. Listen, by Monday morning, I was glad that they won, and that's how I would have felt. But that's kind of how I felt in this game. You know, like, they're going to win this game. They really don't deserve to win this game. They're lucking out, and then they missed it. Obviously, making the field goal would have been a lot better. You learn your lesson in victory. You know, I'm never a big fan of that's a good loss.
Right.
There's not really a lot of good losses.
Well, Michael Gee says they got the pressure off their back.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have to worry about 16.
The only good loss that I can tell you about is in 2001 when we lost to the Rams here. That told the Patriots,
right,
we can play with anyone in this league. We don't, you know, we are good. That legitimized them.
There was a loss
in
Denver
where
Brady
could play if they won.
No, I'm saying loss. I mean, you go in with a loss. You know you lost the game.
There was a loss in Denver early in Brady's career where they kind of thought, you know what, we could have won this game.
Yeah, I remember
Brady could have won it.
Yeah. Yep. Damian Woody was really leading that charge.
Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got a couple points to make real quick. Andy, you sure you don't want Brian Waters back?
No, I told you I could change, and I'd much rather have Brian Waters than what they had this week. But
okay, no, that's a problem.
Now, do you want me to be literal or stick with my principles? Because it was easier to stick with my principles when we won games.
You could be principal. You have no principles.
Well, to me, that's a problem. That old line is a problem, and I had a feeling that's why I wasn't. Week one, when you guys would say, oh, the offensive line, I said, wait till we play a team that got a pass rush. Then I'll see how good our O-line was.
I know, but at that time, we were thinking Waters would be back. You know, I was.
I never thought Waters would be back.
Yeah,
and I didn't think he wouldn't.
But
I
will tell you,
know.
Dan Conley will be back, and he's higher on the depth chart, and a guy that they spent some money to re-sign who should be your starting right guard, so you should be a little bit better.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Well, I want to get to this point because we always, you know, I still, you know, I'm with Fred. Fred, don't believe them guys again. This offense still worries me because, like, the Eagles played, because I was watching the Eagles game to play the Baltimore Ravens. The Eagles had 4 turnovers in that game, and they still managed to win. If, ask yourself this, against a Baltimore defense, if we turn over the ball 4 times, are we going to win that game?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Eagles got more horses. The only thing that's stopping the Eagles is their quarterback. The only thing, and I keep always telling last year, the only thing stopping Baltimore is their quarterback.
Well, just out of curiosity, Tyrone, how many times did you said the Patriots turn it over 4 times? Can they win?
No,
how many times would the Ravens turn it over in that game before I'd say whether or not we'd win?
Because
the Ravens turned it over 3 times, right?
Yeah, I think, but the game was called because that pass rush for the Eagles, you know what I'm saying, was all over the place. I had a feeling they was going to win, but what I'm saying is we're going to see how good this offense really is when we play a team like Baltimore that came out the loss. And to me, my inner feeling, I think we're going to get slaughtered. Because
I'm kind of like Fred. I don't think you – I mean, I think it's a good early season test, and I'm really excited about it, but – win, lose, or draw, I'm not going to draw, you know, a definitive conclusion on the 2012 season based on a week 3 game.
Well,
I mean, they could go out there and score 35 points. They could score 35 points or they could score 13. It's really not going to change my opinion. I think they have a good offense.
Well, I don't think so. I'm sorry. I don't think so because, like I said, with the Wes Welker thing, like I told you guys before, I wasn't mad about New England not paying him his money. I'm tired of these short wide receivers because unless Brady don't put the ball in his breadbasket, he's going to miss the play.
So you don't like those Eagles with DeSean Jackson then, who you just said you'd take their
DeSean
offense?
Jackson, but DeSean Jackson, he's a speedster. He stretches the field. I'm not a high guy on him either. But when it's time to make the play, you got to let that 3rd and 10. The ball went through his hand. I like Wes Welker, don't get me wrong. But, you know what I'm saying? I think we got to get away. I told you guys in 09 when I first started calling the show, football changed. If you notice, football is basketball on grass now. You got these tall wide receivers, and like I said, that's the problem with Westbrook. I like him. He's been productive, but
you can say it, Tyrone. He's a nice little player, right?
What?
He's a nice little player, right? You can say it.
He's a nice little player.
Yeah.
This Julia Edelman thing.
Who's caught 375 passes since you said the game has changed?
And you know one of the theories is that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick agrees with you that they have to look.
Well, I see that.
Yeah.
You got to think things common sensely because, again, Brady ain't gonna be accurate all the time. Like my man Brandon Lloyd, he wasn't accurate and he caught them balls. But Smoker ain't gonna make them. Look at Eli Manning. If you watch Eli Manning, he's not accurate. But his wide receivers bail him out time and time again, especially when the game is on the line. So I don't see this Wes Welker thing. I mean, all I'm going to say is that if we don't get some viable people, we're going to struggle. I think we're going to struggle this season. But you guys have a nice.
All right, Tyrone. Thanks for the call. You're cutting out. All right, food's here. So we have to replenish. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need. to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Lively show, lots of calls, lots of emails, too. One is Robin Alaska, Robin, who says, Fred just postulated that the Patriots are trying to see if Brady can get other guys going at the beginning of a game and then bring out the big guns if needed. I love you, Fred, but I have to disagree. I'd swear in court that history shows you you test guys out in garbage time, not when you're trying to win games. You field the best players available. This is Belichick dogma. This is why the situation is puzzling. We've entered the twilight zone. I agree. I mean, that I was just saying that that could be, and that's one of the things that people have been saying as a possibility.
You know? I think we've done a good job of posing almost every possibility that there could be.
Yep. So, and we also said that all of them could be wrong. You know, there could be something else that we just don't know.
Or aspects of a couple could be right.
It's like that time where we had the report, and it wasn't ours, that Ocho Cinco had the eye exam, and that's why he wasn't at practice. But we said it could be anything. We just don't know why he was there, wasn't there.
And Florio ran with it.
Right. You know, so we're saying that we're throwing it all out there, what we've heard, and also saying we don't know. We don't know. Can I be any more clear there?
That I know nothing.
Right.
No, but it's just that all of the different things that we're throwing out there are not necessarily ours. It's not things that we've come up with.
Right.
You know, theories that we think might.
Right.
They're just kind of throwing all the different scenarios, possibilities that we've come up with.
I'll get to the phones in a second. Warren from London says, thanks for letting me come to the show last Thursday. Warren from the UK Patriots. He said the Troy Brown event on Saturday was an amazing event, was fitting for such a great person. I thought Ty Law was just so funny, and what a speech by Troy. On to the game. We played badly and got the result we deserved. One of our UK Patriot fans got some unwelcome excess bag luggage when the ball landed in his seat and was allowed to take it home with him. I have a picture with it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he sent that to me after the game, Warren. That is pretty cool.
Onto the Wi-Fi. It works really well around the concourse. However, the closer to the pitch, it doesn't work. So throughout the game, I couldn't get any tweet or go on to curse words. I think a few tweaks and it will work. We are making those tweaks. We have certain areas that we knew after the game, you know, need the radios to be turned up or the antennas tilted. But we had about 15,000 people on the Wi-Fi. So, but we are going to make tweaks. And the problem with that is you don't get to test it until the game's on. So now we've got a game under our belt.
Well, that's what I said to Paul before. You know, I was like, they never had that big flush where they tried to flush everything all at once. And
yeah. So I was explaining to Andy last week when I did the Patriots Today stuff that I do every week for the preview. We were out in the stands, and there was a gentleman walking around with a laptop. And I assume that he was testing.
We had 15 guys doing that.
Yeah, he was walking up and down, you know, basically.
Which is 68,000 short of what you need.
Right. Exactly. And it wasn't about him getting to all 68,000 seats. It was, can 68,000 people at the same time.
Right.
Right.
You know, access this.
So we're going to work on it, but it was a good start. Like I said, we had 15,000 at any one time. I think the peak was about 9,100 people on it at the same time.
How many people were watching porn?
Can
you do that?
At least one. Yeah,
you?
It's on the internet. You can watch it.
There's no like a blocker or anything.
No, we're not. Well, yes.
sorry, I was just kidding. Just go on.
Yeah. I don't want to give anyone ideas. Let's go back to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina, and he wants to bring Randy Moss back because he did so much in the 49ers game. What's up, Eldridge?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Oh, you sound down. This loss got
you
down.
I'm very down. Disappointed and everything. And I agree with Tyrone, man. We're going to struggle. If they want to go to the space thing, we're just going to struggle, you know, because, like I said, Brady don't have no liable targets right now. Down the field that stretch to open up for Gronk and open up for Hernandez hurt right now. Welcher, I think they're doing them like they did Moss, man. They're going to get rid of him. That's what I think they're going to do, what they're doing.
Yeah, but they didn't give Moss $9.5 million the year that they decided they're going to get rid of him.
Well, they
gave
him
$9. Yeah, they gave him $9.5 million, but look here, they gave him $9.5 million, they sent him on the bench. And he, like you said, he's Brady, valuable target, right? And he didn't get those 3 years by himself. He had help on the outside. That would broke Welch over. Nobody won't listen to me on that part. You know what I mean? But I can't understand why we can't have it both. You know what I mean? Two good receivers, two good tight ends. If somebody stretched the field, we got a backfield. We got
I thought Brandon Lloyd's supposed to stretch
That's
the field.
That's the idea
Brandon
right
ain't
now.
Fast, man. He ain't fast. He cannot run Peterson. Give me a break. Well, give me somebody like Jackson.
Well,
Wallace,
time out.
Vince Jackson.
He's played two games, and he's been open in the end zone for 50-plus yard touchdowns in both games.
He was wide open in the first one.
Right. But both of them, he got behind the corner, one of which was Patrick
was Peterson.
So I don't know what how you're judging his speed, but twice he was open and Brady didn't hit him.
Well, I saw Peterson ran with him.
If by with him you mean about a yard behind him, then yes, he was with him.
If the pass was right,
you know what that kind of was?
If you're even, I'm leaving.
I'll tell you what that coverage kind of
was. Well, he was even. He didn't leave.
That coverage
he was not even. He was behind him.
Yeah, if the throw, listen, the throw was over the top. That was a much more difficult connection than the one the previous week.
But it was makeable.
But he was open. Andy's right.
A good throw, it's a touchdown.
The coverage was reminiscent to me of a lot of deep balls that Devin McCourty was covering last year. Devin McCourty didn't have guys run right by him. And he was nowhere to be found. No, he was a yard or two trailing. And if the throw was good, it's going to be a completion. If that throw was good, it would have been a touchdown.
Now, the one thing I will say is the throw seemed like it was more to the actual post. And Lloyd was kind of fading right to left across.
Yeah, and
if he was
Brady
running an actual
like
post,
did
I don't.
Ocho.
What was that now?
Brady jumped on him like he did Ocho. Right? No, because they showed that too.
Yeah, they showed him talking to him. Yep, they did.
Could
and
be.
He jumped on just like he did what Chicago, because he's showing just like he did Ocho.
Now, I would say they're even, because last week he didn't throw to the post. Last week, Lloyd ran to the post and he didn't throw to the post.
Well, see, like I said, he ain't got that Lapore yet. But yeah, but ain't no way they're going to tell me. To me, I think they cut the wrong guys. You ain't going to tell me that Edelman and Slater was better than Gaffney and Stallworth.
No, but Edelman and Slater do things that they don't, and they had
to
have guys
that they don't. But as a receiver, they are not it.
But it's not just as a receiver. One's your leading punt returner and one's your specialty.
Right.
They are not it. They ain't, like I said, the defense ain't worried about nobody but Gronk and Hernandez because Edelman is too darn slow to get open. And if he does get open a couple of times, yeah, but he can't break it. And we ain't got nobody on the
actually, Edelman's one of the fastest defense. Guys on the team. But, you know,
I love you.
That's the one I'm looking at.
I love when he laughs at himself.
All right, Eldridge.
Passion is awesome.
Keep it going. Let's go to Dan in North Carolina. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What are you,
from
jumping
a
out
motorcycle?
Of a bike? Are you jumping out of a plane? What are you doing?
Oh, is it loud? I'm sorry. I'm in my car here.
All right.
You don't have windows, apparently. It's a convertible.
You sound like you're in Vietnam.
Okay, hold on. Let me take you off my Bluetooth here. Let me see if that works. Hold on one second. Stand by here. Hold on.
We're not going anywhere. We got about another hour.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, is that better?
Oh, much better.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. You know, it's funny to me how everybody's just jumping off a cliff now after this game. You know, I mean, it's a block punt. Brady throws an interception. We lose by two. We gave up 10 points. I mean, it was a comedy of errors. And so you really got to have a short memory. But a couple things. First of all, I'm just going to throw this out from a defensive standpoint. I noticed we opened the game in man coverage, and I thought it was encouraging to see my man Sterling Moore starting at one of the cornerback spots and not Dowling, because I really think Sterling Moore is going to be a good player. But from a personnel standpoint, I've got no problem at all with Edelman playing ahead of Welker. You know, I called you guys in April and said that they shouldn't have even paid Welker that $9 million. So my biggest problem is them paying him $9 million. But, I mean, to me, our three wide receiver set is defendable. It's too defendable. I mean, it just doesn't work. I mean, everybody's figured that out. So I think we have to stick to our guns on the two tight end set and run the ball. And Edelman is a better blocker. Now, as far as this game on Sunday, can we finally cut Donald Thomas, O'o Manawanui, and Danny Woodhead, because they were brutal?
Just one question. When were they not a two tight end team last year?
No, my point is that when they went to the three wide receiver set in that game, they were defendable. That's my point.
All right, you know, everybody is – I think this offensive thing is getting ridiculously overblown.
I'm enjoying it.
That's my point. That's my point. Everybody's jumping off a cliff.
No. I'm going to jump on your cliff now. Wait, what is defendable about this offense? Because they had a bad game Sunday, they're suddenly defendable? I mean, no one's offense goes 16 games in the regular season without ever getting slowed down at all. No one's offense does that.
I understand that, but O'o Manawanui was O'o crap, and that's what.
Why?
That's
because
what
he gave up a sack?
No, he was miserable the whole game.
How many plays did he play?
He was on the field a lot. Am I the only one seeing this?
Well, I think that he's.
You know what?
They obviously looked at something. I mean, Daniel Fells, for whatever reason, he's not ready to go, and they looks like they're going to sign Kellen Winslow today. So. You know, maybe you have some. Maybe they do feel they need something there.
But those are two different positions.
Absolutely.
They're signing Winslow to replace Hernandez.
Yeah.
That's your pass-catching slot tight end receiver.
Well, when Fells is ready, don't you think, Manawanui's, you know,
potentially
takes a seat?
I think Manawanui is.
Oh, yeah, that could happen.
He's a real tight end. He's your backup to Gronk, a blocker, that kind of thing, your third tight end.
Yeah, and to Daniel's point, he didn't play well. He didn't play well on Sunday.
Just to reiterate, find me a game where we've been in a three wide receiver package in the past 3 years against a good defense and we played well. Tell me a game against a good defense. It's not there, guys.
But that's not their
right.
Their offensive set is not necessarily.
I understand that.
It's too tight and too wide until this year. Right?
In order to get Welker on the field, you got to be in a three wide receiver set. So that's
why? Why?
No, that's
why?
Not always
that makes no sense.
You have Brandon Lloyd is one of the wide receivers. Who's the other one?
Edelman.
You think Edelman's better than Welker?
Yes, because
that's fine. Okay, great. We got a run blocking wide receiver. I know
those are in high demand.
That's great.
Also made a critical catch on third down on their touchdown drive.
Yeah, about two yards short of the first down, and they gave him the first down.
They gave him the first down, then they pull.
Yeah. Well, who made the bigger plays on Sunday, Welker or Edelman?
Welker had that long pass that came a couple.
Which one?
Other than that,
which one? Well, he had 95 yards on five catches.
He had one deep pass.
Well, so that all came on one deep pass for 25 yards.
His longest reception was like 36, 35.
And he had another one for 25, is
right.
My point.
Okay,
so it wasn't just one play.
All right, look at Ridley's runs. Who did he run behind? Edelman.
Ridley didn't have any really good runs on Sunday. He had one good run.
He averaged 20 yards.
He averaged less than 4 yards a carry and had a 20-yard run in there.
Okay. All right.
I'm just looking at the numbers. 18 for 71, 3.9 a carry with a long of 20. So he had a 20-yard run. Maybe that was behind Edelman. Maybe when Welker's off the books, we can give him $9.5 million to block for Ridley in the running game.
I'm not saying pay Julian Edelman. I'm not a dummy, but I'm saying.
But you said he's better than Welker.
No, I said he's better at what he does better than Welker.
Yeah, but.
What does he do?
Well, Matthew Slater is better at what he does than both of them. But, you know, you're not going to put him out there.
I'm talking about run blocking, guys.
No, I know that.
Yeah, and that's not really in a wide receiver's job description. So
certainly
whether,
not the primary
if he's a little bit, if he's a little bit better of a blocker than Welker, I don't care.
I mean, isn't Bill Belichick a big fan of I like my receivers to get open and catch the football? Wes Welker does both of those very well.
And I don't remember, like, over the last 5 years, people complaining about that Welker. He just doesn't block.
I'm just saying at this juncture right now, the whole conspiracy theories, that's my opinion on it.
Okay.
That's what I think is going on.
All right.
Do you think we'll ever cut – I love all three of you guys. Do you think we'll ever cut Donald Thomas and Kenny Woodhead, though? Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah, I think eventually.
I think Donald Thomas could get cut. Woodhead will not get cut, I don't think, but I don't think he'll be on the team next year.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You guys are my favorite show of the week.
Thanks, Dan. You make it great, even better. Thanks, Dan from North Carolina. Ed writes in, he says, as a fan, it appears the offense is out of sync. Doesn't seem to have the same chemistry as in previous years. The Patriots' offense appears to not be the same high-powered scoring machine that we have been accustomed to. Scoring 20-plus points per game appears to be a thing of the past. Could it have been a mistake in bringing back McDaniels? Look how much better Sam Bradford looks this year with his new offensive coordinator. This is a fan's perspective, nothing more.
And I love it, but I think it's flawed. I mean, Josh McDaniels has had a lot of success. If you want to look at anything, quote, the offense doesn't look the same, well, maybe that's because two of their four skill position players they decided to change. Brandon Lloyd is new at receiver. We all think that could be an upgrade. And you started Julian Edelman. That was your starting offense this week. And Stephen Ridley is now your lead back. There's a lot of new faces out there, new guys in roles.
It is new. It is new.
And throw in the offensive line, which is a clear work in progress.
Right. Paulie in L.A. says, wait. How many times are we going to blame Wes Welker? Should we also look at who threw the ball? Dare I ask, how does Tom Brady look? Who did we blame after the Super Bowl? Who did we point at when Lloyd missed the first big play in the first game this year? Brady. I hate myself for asking.
I blamed Brady after the Super Bowl. The first big play, I was saying, I don't know which one is on the rung and not on the same page.
I still say
I think he's right. I think it's a good point. I think Brady... he generally skates.
Joel,
as he should.
But I'm not making it an editorialization that it's wrong.
If you're going to live off a resume, his is a pretty good resume to live off
well,
of.
Yeah, but Andy,
what did
you started
what did
off
you
the
open
show
up the show
with, yeah. I think, a legitimate concern.
And you said nothing that was out of the ordinary or over the top. I don't think he's been very sharp.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, again, it doesn't mean that you think he stinks or you're devaluing what he's done over the past 12 years or anything like that.
Just got to get him out of there because maybe at this point Ryan Mallett's a better run-blocking quarterback.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire, wow. Don't remember when I've been this frustrated after a game. Multiple drives killed by penalties or runs for negative yards. Multiple passes dropped. 5 for 15 on third downs. A revolving door in O-line. A block punt. Inconsistent refereeing that I believe affected the game more than it should have. The D was the definite bright spot in the game, and I can't blame Gostkowski for this loss. Hell, he was the one who kept us in it. That last drive was a head-scratcher. 1st and 10 on the 18, 46 seconds of the clock. Arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, and you don't make at least one or two shots at the end zone. That was baffling. It is only week 2, so I'm tempering my frustration. But this week, I saw more referee influences on the game where it wouldn't have occurred with regular referees. Come on, even Pereira gave them a D when asked by Felger to grade them. I think a couple more crappy weeks influenced by Division II and III refs should bring the owners to their senses. But until then, I think the calls are only going to get more inconsistent.
Steve Sable died today, huh?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, they're going.
I knew he
NFL Network is
talking
about.
Yeah, he had a brain tumor or something.
Yeah, I knew he was very sick. 69.
Wow.
I'm glad he got a chance to see his dad go in the Hall of Fame, though, before he passed away.
Okay.
No, it's being serious.
Too bad. No, you're right.
The one thing that the whole end of the game situation, I guess we kind of glossed over that. I don't have a problem with it because I think Arizona, had they had any time to sort of think about it, would have let them score to try to get the ball back. I think there was that kind of a situation. Now, I don't think they let him score in the Woodhead play. I don't think that was an intentional give up by the Cardinals. But you could make an argument that that would have been the only way Arizona could have won the game, barring a missed field goal. Now, you set up that missed field goal, you can always miss it, right? There's never a sure thing.
Right.
So whether it's 25 yards or 45 yards, you can miss it. Obviously, it's harder for 45, but I think you can make an argument that from the 18-yard line, the Patriots should not have been taking one or two shots in the end zone.
Oh, not
for
a touchdown. No way.
That extent, but to me, if you score, that extends the game. Now you have to come up with a stop.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do what they did and sort of run the clock down, you can end the game on your foot.
Yeah,
and let's face it.
From 35 yards out, it should be a gimme.
And again, I don't want to put it all on Steven. He missed the kick. But it's a kick that he should make better than 80% of the time.
Sure. Vishon from New York.
Do you not agree with that, Andy? You were quiet on that. Do you want to argue with me on that?
I think Andy's his blood sugar might be down. He's all
I don't always know. Sometimes because Andy and I are very similar. Sometimes,
I don't argue just to argue. If I don't have an argument, I just sit here and be quiet.
But that's what I was wondering. But sometimes both of us do this. We just decide, I don't really agree with that, but I'm not really in the mood. And I was wondering if this was one of those times that he kind of thinks, no, they definitely should have had pedal to the metal, because I would have been curious.
He's thinking ahead to the taping of the PFW show later this afternoon.
And we were also talking
about it. Did enter my mind like, oh, no, the show's coming. As much as we love this show, the next one isn't as fun.
Ratings were way up.
They were.
The ratings were way
0.9 with a 2-share. So that's pretty good.
So what ratings were up. 2 out of every 100 TVs that were on watched us?
Yeah, something like 2 people watched it.
Vishon, that was my mom.
Vishon from New York. I really don't know why people are all up in flames about reducing Welker's role on the team. He's 5'9", he's 31 years old, and you expect him to play every down. That's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable to me how much that mentality has sort of enveloped Patriots Nation.
On a side note,
you have to validate in Bill I Trust. And if you say in Bill I Trust, you have to come up with a legit reason. Edelman's a better run blocker.
I know
you
were being Andy-like with your hyperbole, but I wonder if he just decided next week, you know what? Mallett's going to start. I wonder if we're, I wonder what you're laughing, but I'm wondering
because Fred, you need to find out what you got.
Now that would
no. Yeah. Right now, at this point in time, Ryan Mallett's a better player. Because if he says it, it's fact.
On a side note, that game was hard to watch, and I absolutely blame McDaniels for his poor play calling. Anyway, you guys rock. Keep up the great work. P.S. I subscribed to the paper last week for the first time, so when do you think I will receive my first copy?
Thanksgiving.
No. You'll probably get the opener next year.
No, you'll be fine.
No chance for next week. 0.0.
No. We'll get that out to you. Carol.
Carol, get on that. She'll get back to you as soon as she gets back from her nap and then her lunch.
Tree Hugger in Oregon writes in. remember Tree Hugger? Mm-hmm. He hasn't written in a while. Boy, am I upset. I'm not sure I can take another week like that. Of course, I am talking about the fact that PFW TV is no longer on iTunes. What's the deal? I don't know.
Didn't know it was ever on iTunes. I don't know anything about this.
But seriously, a couple questions. One, is this a game that we can unanimously agree that this loss was a game in which, setting special teams aside, the defense did its job and the offense let the team down?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Two, yeah. I don't know. I know you guys don't like to go there, but am I the only one left a little limp at the play calling? I'd like to see a play action pass in third and short instead of Woodhead up the middle for no gain. I'm all in favor of the run game, but I feel like the Patriots are pretty predictable in certain down distance combinations. Pats bounce back big for a win in Baltimore. Mark it down. Again, we go back to the play calling.
I agree with the play calling criticism, but not for the reasons. I don't think running the ball is predictable on third down. I think that's going against what the Patriots normally do. But I don't think that's what the Patriots do really well. That's why I don't like that. I don't like running the ball on third and threes and third and fours. I know they got away with it a little bit in the first game, but not so much in this game.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like with the Patriots sometimes where certain series, like, it happens so fast, it's like, wait a minute. Can we do a do-over here? You know, it's just like, because maybe it's because they don't huddle. You know, it just seems like it just happens so fast.
Can you know what's funny about the Patriots offense in general is, and we've noticed this a lot, they either go 3 and out or they drive. Like, they don't have a lot of 30-yard drives where they get 2 first downs and then stall around midfield and punt. They take over at their own 20 and go 3 and out, or they take over at their own 20 and go 80 for a touchdown.
Right.
There's almost like no in-between.
Yeah.
Now, this year, it seems like there's more 80 yards in a field goal than touchdowns so far, but you know what my point is.
It's 100% in the red zone.
No, actually, it's not.
I thought they were.
No, they were 0 for, 1 for 2. What were they in the red zone? The first game, they had two. I think they were stopped twice in the red zone game.
I thought they were. I thought I remember they were reading in PFW that it was 100% in the red zone box.
Well, you may have read that in PFW. No. That doesn't mean it's right.
Scores.
That's what I mean. I don't mean touchdowns.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not.
But that's not considered red zone.
I understand, the other team's saying sarcastically.
Yeah, the other team's 100% too.
Yeah.
On scores, but not the Patriots have had some red zone stops, too.
Right, right. Ross,
yes, they were one for one Sunday.
Ross writes in, I've been defending Welker to everyone at every turn since Super Bowl and the contract issues, but it's time for me to take the fan glasses off. Wes is rattled, whether it's contract-related or psychological after getting crucified for the Super Bowl drop. Before the block punt, Wes failed to make a catchable grab at the sidelines. He wound up with decent numbers on Sunday, but he just doesn't seem to have it. All indications I see, the offense is going to continue to evolve without him, even with the Hernandez injury. Thankfully, it's not all bleak. I know it's two middle-of-the-road offenses, but I'm so encouraged about this defense up front. Baltimore is just what we need, a bounce back on the road, and we get some swagger back. Thanks for hours upon hours of the best football radio out there.
Maybe. What did you point to, Paul? I wasn't really listening.
Interesting, the whole mental side of it with Welker. Do they see a change in him mentally? Maybe they do see him having some residual effects of that huge drop, and maybe they've watched him in camp a little bit and haven't seen the same guy. Maybe that's led to it a little bit. I wonder. Add another one to the list. I mean, he does have a drop in each of the first two games.
They're actually doing this on Hot Topics on SportsCenter right now, and they just put up through two games last year and this year. Isn't it a little misleading when one of those games included a 99-yard touchdown?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You need to have an asterisk that says, including 99-yard touchdown.
But it certainly didn't have one including, 14 yards?
What do you mean?
He had a 14-yard game this year, right?
Right.
So I'm clear.
But that's their point. They want the separation. So this one included a play that happens once in your football career, and it happened within the first two games last year. Right. That play happens literally once in your career, and they don't put a little, including a fluke 99-yard touchdown.
Right.
That sways the numbers.
Yeah. TG and NJ, guys, what if Gronk doesn't get that holding call and Woodhead's TD is good and the Patriots win? Would we be talking about the Welker conspiracy still?
Yes.
Or Gostkowski hits that field goal?
I think so.
Yes.
Amazing after this game, it's all Welker all the time. When did Wes become Judas? Why does Paulie hate him so much?
He always has. Give Paul credit. He's hated him since the day he arrived.
And
that's,
I don't think
but that's not that's not
except
true.
For the 1 week span where he gave him a $50 million
expense. The questioning is less on Wes as it is on
the coaches.
What his
exactly.
role is and what they're deciding his role
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Right. That's why I'm saying this is not about Wes to
well,
me.
Some
this
of
is
these
about
are.
The decision
some
not
of
to
the
play.
Theories
some
are.
Of them are. Yeah.
But
I'm talking about what we've heard on
I've
sports
been surprised
radio.
How many fans have sort of turned the page from Wes so quickly
because they think he's gone.
But
they're doing a Fred early.
Oh,
they think he's
maybe.
Already
yeah,
an ex-Patriot.
Maybe. Even as a fan,
so he's not one of us anymore. Screw him.
Yeah, but
I dropped
you.
That pass. He sucks.
I don't care.
I
even
you.
If
short.
I, you might be right.
Even if I think he's not going to be on this team next year, he's on this team this year, and he's getting $9.5 million, and I want to win, and he's one of my best receivers, and I want him out
he
there.
He is one of your best receivers.
He's a waspy widow receiver.
He's never going to catch me.
TG,
you know what's funny? Is it's like, last year, you have this overpaid guy who can't find his role in the offense. One was Chad Ochocinco.
Right.
Now it's Wes Welker.
TG and NJ says, I agree with Andy. Brady needs to figure out how to run, even if it's just a little bit. That was always my only criticism of him. He can throw, read, defenses, etc., but he can't run.
He used to run.
I watched
before
the
he got
other,
hurt, he ran.
I watched the other QBs in the league run around and make plays and keep thinking.
He never ran around.
I wish we had that option. Expectations have been lowered overall, but I'm looking forward to rooting for the defense this season. So
Paul just almost spit all over everywhere.
No, but I just like the expectations are lowered, so I'm looking forward to rooting for the
it's
defense.
Week three.
It's like they've given
oh my
up.
God.
Like, it's like they've given up.
Have you changed anything assessing this team, Fred?
Overall?
Yes.
No.
Long term?
No.
No. And
so
I
they're still the
Fred.
Favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the American Football Conference.
Oh, well, they weren't my favorite to begin with.
No, but, he's asking me.
But I'm with you. My confidence has not wavered one bit in what I think this team is. This team is a Super Bowl contender.
I mean, we
in a bad league.
You have to look at the history of things. You know, teams have had worse starts and finished, you know, really well. So it's no time
to
jump off the cliff.
I don't know. One of these things about the running game, they're clearly trying to evolve a little bit offensively, right? Don't you think that they're showing more of a consistent effort to try to get something going with Ridley.
I think that's really debatable.
Yeah, I don't either.
Through two. Now, I don't know what they'll do this week. Well, they might come out no huddle, spread, and never.
One of them, the results was overwhelmingly positive, and the other one, not so much. But wouldn't you expect there to be a little peak and valley nature to something you're trying to do that's new?
Yes, sure.
Now, I don't know. Off the field.
You saw Sean Lee just get lit up.
Oh, that was a
Ball's
big,
most underrated player.
That was a big hit. I hate those hits. I think those are the cheapest hits in football. But anyway, not because it was Sean Lee.
Paul doesn't like the physicality when it's guys like,
no,
like
I just,
his guy.
I just think that you can make that same effectiveness on the block without lighting the guy up.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he won't know his name tomorrow, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but should a guy not knock a guy out because he can't knock him out in boxing? It's the sport.
But isn't the idea to make sure that guy doesn't make the tackle?
The idea when you play football, when you are playing, you want to hit the guy as hard as possible.
This is one.
And anyone who doesn't doesn't really like football. If you don't like hitting people hard, then you don't really like football.
I don't like taking an opportunity to hit a guy hard when he can. If he's coming head on and he lights him up like that,
I have no problem. I'm sorry. There's this deception, misdirection in the game. When you have to hit somebody, you're trying to hit them hard. That's the way the game works. If you don't like that, then you don't really like the game of football. It's not for everyone. It's a brutal sport. You get de-cleated at times. But that
is part
of the game.
But you're misunderstanding. I have no problem with the de-cleating. Dante Robinson got in all kinds of trouble a couple years ago for hitting a guy, de-cleated him just like that. I have zero problem with that hit.
Then what do you
argue? Could have easily grabbed him around the ankles and tackled him just as effectively. I have no problem. But the receiver knew the guy was coming. He's right in front of him. He's catching the ball. He's expecting to get hit. This, to me, was a blind hit that Golden Tate, or whatever his name is. Was it Golden Tate?
I don't know.
He knew that the guy didn't see him. And he knew. I don't think he makes
it's brutal.
I don't think he makes the same contact with the guy if he's going forward at him. He puts his arms up and makes the regular receiver block in the open field and just tries to shield the guy off.
Well, that's part of it.
That's what I'm saying. He took an opportunity to relish hitting a guy when the guy wasn't looking. That to me,
okay.
That
if you don't like to hit people hard, I get back to my original statement.
To me, that doesn't take any courage.
When the guy's facing you, you can't take a knockout shot because you could whiff. And as your job as a blocker is to make sure you don't whiff, so you need to throttle it down a little. But when the guy doesn't see you, it's a knockout shot, and I'm sorry.
But don't say I like football because I don't like a cheap blindside
hit.
That's
the core of football. It's not cheap. It is blindside, but that's why one of the old cliches is head on a swivel because you play on a field where there's space all around you. There's people all around you. It's part of the reason I don't want Tom Brady running up and then stopping because he literally has 360 degrees of people trying to kill him. It's a brutal sport, and that's the problem. All these people in this modern age don't want to admit it's a brutal sport. It's become so mainstream,
but I have no problem.
And people don't want to admit it leaves people paralyzed, limping. It's part of it. And I understand that's not really appealing to some people, but people that play football want to hit hard. That's at the core of the game. You want to knock people out. It's why people joke about seeing snot bubbles and those things when you're in high school. And that's the core of the game, and I don't think it should have to apologize for itself. Just like I think in boxing, you're trying to knock somebody out. You're not trying to, I'm going to try to land as many punches today and win on the decision from the judges. I don't want to hurt this guy because he might be, you know, a vegetable in a few years. I'm trying to hit him. I'm trying to knock him out. I'm sorry.
I just think that you're taking my opinion on this one particular play and you're getting from
it's
2
it's your guy.
To 5. No, it's not.
If it was Wes Welker, you'd be fine with it.
Okay, here we go. See, now he has to always do that, which ruins the whole discussion. Web radio at patriots.com,
508-298-0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Brendan in a car. He wants to talk about the defense. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
One thing that I did notice about the defense, I'm actually, you know, shying on the good side of the game. I'm ignoring the offense for now. But one thing I did notice is the linebacker core. Each individual linebacker that we've that was starting, Hightower, Spikes, and Mayo, all had monstrous signature plays. For example, like Mayo, when he hit Doucette coming across the middle, and it was just a hell of a hit by him.
Penalty
also,
on
know,
that? What do you think?
No.
What do you think? Should it have been a penalty?
Hit. No.
Well, I do.
You
that,
do?
That was a helmet to the side,
high hit.
Shoulder to the chest. That was a good hit. Then there was, Spikes with the strip, and even Hightower shot the gap on a running play. I'm really excited about this linebacker core, but also, you know, I'm really happy with how the front seven has played throughout. I mean, Chandler Jones had a great game again. Wilfick and Love looked overpowering, and I think this defense actually has some traction, a lot more than the last 5 years, we'll say.
Sure.
But
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, that's the only thing, is rein it in a little bit based on the offenses they've played.
Right. Week three is a big step. We'll see.
But the first part, I would argue, and I haven't done the research, so somebody might yell at me, I'm not sure there's a team in the league that has the type of size, speed, youth at linebacker that the Patriots have with those three. My little SECD. I mean, they're all literally like 260 pounds.
Well, I mean,
and run particularly high tower.
I swear, Spikes gets taller every time. Yeah. I see. I'm not talking bigger.
But that's
I'm
what
talking
I'm talking
taller.
I'm not saying they're the best linebacking crew in the NFL because they're not.
That's gonna
but
be
I'm
disruptive.
Just talking about those three walk on the field. If you're doing the old high school thing where they get off the bus and go, holy crap,
but
look at those guys.
It's almost like Urlacher. Like, do you ever hear what some of the quarterbacks in the NFC, they say how difficult Urlacher is in that Tampa 2 because he drops back from the middle linebacker so far, he's hard to throw it over. I wonder if Spikes is sort of getting a little like that. Not that he's involved a lot in pass defense because that's not his strength, but he's so big. He's so imposing.
The closest thing I can think of off the top of my head is the 49ers with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. They're both young and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Inflict a lot of pain when they really want to.
Well, I look at the old Steeler defense linebacker corps with Jack Lambert and Jack Ham, and you know they were pretty formidable too.
Yeah, I'm not putting them in that class. Yeah, I'm just basing it solely on like size.
They could be someday in that class.
Whoa! No, they could.
Oh, relax.
Really? You think there's a Hall of Famer in that group?
Yeah, I think eventually Hightower could be someday.
Oh, my God, he's played two games.
I'm just saying
you
someday.
You two with your love for Hightower. You with your commentary 2 weeks ago. You got him in the Hall of Fame.
I'm saying he has athletic potential to be that.
Oh, so did Sean Crable. If they make the NFL, they have athletic potential.
Andy,
this
is another 2-2. Okay. I said I liked his infectious energy.
Oh, come on.
And I didn't put him in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think the sky's the limit for that crew?
Now who needs to pump the brakes?
Yeah,
seriously?
Pump the brakes.
Fred.
They're not there yet, but you don't think there's potential there? Come on.
Yeah, but,
potential for
Hall
of Fame? No, I don't.
Therapy just started. This is where we start fluffing people.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, maybe 3 years from now we're thinking awfully different, but I'm not thinking
Hall
of Fame.
The fact
potential.
That you say maybe
point.
We could be saying that about Tavon Wilson.
Based on what I've seen today, there's a 0% chance of any of those guys
going
on.
Who's been the best rookie for the Patriots playing defense?
Right now?
Jones.
Jones. So he's not even the best rookie on his team in his rookie year in his second game, and yet you have him in Canton.
Do you think Chandler Jones right now is in running for rookie of the year?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. He's in more of the running than Hightower, who you have in Canton.
Hightower is not.
Okay.
Just
the best defensive
Hightower
Patriots rookie has been Jones. If anyone's going to Canton out of this rookie class, as ridiculous as that is after two games, it's Chandler Jones.
The sky's the limit with those three.
Oh, God, you're
right. See, I disagree with that.
Thanks, Brandon.
Sky's
the limit with Nate Ebner, too. Put him in Canton. Guy's shown good instincts.
I do have one more little thing, then I'll let you guys go. Should we read into Rozai Dowling not getting any snaps whatsoever?
Yes.
I mean, that's significant because he started the game before.
He's weird because he started camp as the starter, then all of a sudden the snaps faded. It was clear Arrington became the starter, but Rozai was still coming in. And now you're like, is he like out of the mix?
Well, he was the nickelback, and now he's nothing.
Well, you have to look at how they use Rozai Dowling through the preseason, too. He got a lot of snaps in the preseason. Toward the end of games when you would think,
when he was going down.
Right, so did Sterling Moore.
Right, but you figure, if he's a starter, then why is he getting all these reps at the end of the game? And then they made him the starter.
No, we knew he wasn't
game.
The starter anymore.
But he was.
But
he ended up being the starter.
He was the nickelback.
Yeah.
In the first game, didn't he start?
I don't know if he started or didn't start. He wasn't the starter.
Arrington has become back to the starter. Arrington and McCourty are the starting cornerbacks.
Oh, no doubt right now. Yes, absolutely.
And week one,
the first game.
And in the last two preseason games. Early in camp, Dowling was the starter, and then something happened. It went the other way.
Dowling may have been on the field for the first play, but so were Arrington
and
McCourty.
Okay, so maybe they were in a sub.
There's only one play for Moore the week before, so they just switched roles. One guy was irrelevant in week one. The other guy was irrelevant in week two. So I would caution, this could have been a pure game plan thing. I find it weird. Either way, it's not a good sign. Either way that you're, you know, remember when that 33rd pick was really a first round pick. I mean, it's really a first round pick you got for Matt Castle.
Right.
Well, that's the guy you took with it, and you've decided he's not even in the best interest to step on the field at all.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Brendan. Let's go to Pittsburgh.
But he might be in the Hall of Fame because with that size, sky's the limit.
Jim is in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
The shows have been unbelievable the past few weeks. The arguments sound like my family reunion. I like when Fred gets all negative. He starts playing Andy. But I got to say,
Andy plays Andy better than Fred plays Andy, but when Fred plays Andy, it's a lot funnier. I don't get to watch the games being down here in Pittsburgh, but I got to listen on the radio, and I was listening to the Arizona feed because that was the only thing I could find. And they kept talking about how Logan Mankins was getting blown off the line. Is that true?
I thought Andy made the point that they lost the game on the line of scrimmage. I think that's true, yeah. I mean, specifically Mankins, Thomas was the one that kind of stuck out to me, but I thought Arizona controlled the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was just surprising that to hear them say Mankins was getting blown off the ball. It was a bad game.
Another thing that was surprising to me, and another thing that
was
surprising.
Well, he's got two broken legs. We just don't know about it. It's not on the injury report.
I was surprised with how well Arizona stopped the run with light fronts. You know, they had two defensive linemen almost entirely the whole game, and they were able to contain the run game with sub defense on the field. And that, to me, was that's a sign that you weren't controlling the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's a fluke.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there were some fluky aspects of that was a bad game all around.
But there's no fluke to getting your ass whooped up front. That's just man-on-man football. That's the stuff Paul hates, physicality.
All right, Jim.
Thanks, guys. I enjoy the show. You
all right. Thank you.
I did want
represent in Pittsburgh for us, will you?
Can you have a trap game in week two?
Yes.
That was the definition of a trap game as we talked about, but I just thought in week two.
You can't have trap games.
How can you get caught in a trap in week two?
Well, I think.
You haven't done anything.
I think a 14-point line in week two was a silly line.
No, but I'm saying can you be high on yourself? Can you be looking past anything and feel like you've established anything in week two?
With young guys, you have to worry about that.
Fred, do you think if Hernandez played, they would have won?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I think they would have gotten rolling a little earlier, so it wasn't such a...
Now, and I know you picked Arizona. You took the points, so yeah. I know you felt that 14 points was too high. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think they're 14 points better than Arizona.
Me too.
At least.
They just
played a bad game.
Frank is in Germany. Guten Tag, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? I've been waiting a while to call in to you. I love the show, man. I've been listening to it like for the last couple of months. I got so many things to say, I don't even know where to start.
Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah, I do. But anyway, the first thing I want to start at is the play calling, man. You got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, twice on third and one, we run like a draw with Woodhead. He doesn't get anything. I know we can blame the offensive line part for it, but we're a passing team. Tom Brady is, to my mind, the best quarterback in the game, so let him throw the ball on an out route to Wes Welker, who, by the way, I think it's ridiculous that we have a discussion about him and his ability. I really do, and I don't even know how people can actually say, like last week somebody called in and said he was like obsolete. I mean, serious, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he is and has been proven the last 5 years one of the best receivers in the ballgame, and we need him. And another question I have about depth is, especially at the offensive line and at the wide receiver position, why did we cut Branch? Star Wars and Gaffney, I don't know. I think Branch has been a target for Tom Brady for a couple of years. And the problem I have is, who made the spot for him on this team? Tracy White? Somebody else on the defensive line? I think we should have kept him, especially now that injuries do come into play. And the same thing goes for the offensive line. It happens around the league often. Why do teams only keep 8 players on the offensive line? It seems that they get hurt so often. So I don't even know why we only keep like 8 guys. That's like the two main things I have to say.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Frank.
A lot of stuff there. The wide receiver depth thing, I think that's getting a lot of play too, and I don't get it. We have this huge issue with Wes Welker, right? Why is he not playing? We can't get Wes Welker on the field. Why does he not play more? But we're wondering why they cut Branch or Gaffney.
Well, I think what happened is we got set up like a MF-er. They brought in all these guys, and we thought, oh, my goodness, Stallworth, Gaffney, Branch, Welker, Lloyd. You know, forget about Edelman. He wasn't even in the conversation.
But they also brought in a ton of tight ends.
No, I know that, but we thought...
But those all got hurt.
Right. We thought we were going to have, you know, all this, you know, quality depth. They were bringing the band together,
and then
they were all gone.
But you do have quality depth. If Wes Welker's not a starter,
thank you.
Then you got damn good depth.
Thank you.
And by the way, Greg Salas is inactive. That would be the answer.
But I think people would say that if Branch was the guy or Gaffney was the guy, I think people would understand a little bit. They don't understand Edelman being the guy.
Well, no, but my point
then
is...
Then go back to Bill I Trust. Bill's decided he's the guy.
Right.
Why is wide receiver depth an issue when we have a wide receiver inactive who's healthy and another one who caught 122 passes who's not playing full-time? Why are we worried about Branch not being here or Gaffney not being here?
It's not like you're splitting... Manawanui out wide because you need a receiver.
I mean, just judging on what I saw on Sunday, if Branch was on the roster, he either would have been a healthy scratch or no part of the offense. Because Welker really wasn't a part of the plan until Hernandez got hurt.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, based on what we saw.
Yeah, we only saw three plays, though.
But, I mean, even if you looked at the breakdown that some of the guys did about the different sets that they had and how often he came off the field, Edelman was the guy that stayed out there when mm-hmm. there needed to only be two receivers on the field. It was Edelman and it was Lloyd. So I don't think Branch or Gaffney would have played much, if at all. Like, I just don't get why wide receiver depth is an issue when we have wide receivers that we can't seem to get on the field.
Right.
Our choice.
But the short answer for it is Salas is the guy, even though it didn't kind of chronologically, it's a little different. Salas is the wide receiver on the roster that you didn't expect, and Deion Branch is the
receiver. We haven't even mentioned his name. Do we see him being activated for? I mean, he was.
Why? We have another slot receiver. We can't get on the
field.
I'm
going to again go back to my. You know,
no, but now they
I think
they have to go left.
I think
tight
he'll
end
be active Sunday.
Well,
they just signed a tight end that they want to play in the slot.
If Kellen Winslow is active on Sunday, I think Salas stays where he is.
Okay,
for the same reasons.
So you think Winslow can be active and effective?
Maybe.
I have no idea. As far as Belichick knows, he ain't talking about him because I only talk about the players on my roster. So I have no idea. I'm kind of putting the cart before the
John
horse.
Wait.
There was a second question, wasn't there, about the offensive line and eight guys?
Well,
only keep eight guys?
Well, then you can't keep – you got to have
I don't understand maybe the impetus for the question. It's not like the Patriots had injuries and were scrambling and put Manawanui at tackle.
No, I think his point is it seems like they get a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Why do we only have eight guys on the roster?
But when was the last time
you lost Conley?
Did they not have enough offensive linemen?
No, I don't know. I'm just
so why do you need to keep more if you have enough?
I'm trying to play the guy, Frank's question.
Well, I'm asking a question. Could you just answer?
Because the Patriots have had injuries at offensive line and they've been fine. You don't need that many offensive linemen.
History shows that
as long as a couple guys
are versatile. You can get by with eight, and you know these roster spots are very valuable.
That's the disrespectful yet accurate answer. Is if you lose two or three, you can always get one.
Right.
You always have one or two on your practice squad.
Right.
And there are always guys available.
Brian Waters is sitting on his couch.
We haven't even. Hey, it's amazing. We've gone the whole day without talking about that.
1 week to the next. Waters was the scandal. Now Welker's the scandal. Next week, Wilfork. Stick with the W's.
So I think the answer is that the Patriots are just trying to be the Red Sox, and they're just not as good at it in creating conspiracy and scandals.
Freddie, I'm still wondering.
I thought that would get more of an immediate reaction. It took me a second there.
I'm still looking for therapy.
When are you going to tell us we're going to beat Baltimore? Not just that you're looking forward to the challenge.
No, because I'm with Paul.
The old
I know
Fred
a,
would have. Why I, does that keep clicking? Is that me? Or
I
Fred?
Still believe eventually this offense is going to be fine. I'm excited about what I've seen.
How do you still believe that when you never believed it to start the year?
I'm worried, but I'm still. I know what long term they're going to be okay. So knowing that, I'm excited about the defense. So that means I'm excited about this test coming up in Baltimore. I'm excited. I'm not fearful.
I'm excited.
You know, a lot of times, you know.
Are they going to win?
You know, Tyrone thinks we're going to get our asses handed to us in Baltimore.
I don't think so. You might.
You know, I'm excited about the test.
Oh, this is a good hit in this long.
John in South Carolina, quickly. So it seems as if the fans are looking to blame Welker and Edelman for the offensive issues. But to me, it seemed like Edelman and Welker were our two key receivers. To me, Edelman seemed to get some good yards after catch when he touched the ball. By the way, guess who was tied with 15th for yard after catch? Wes Welker. And who is he tied with? C.J. Spiller. Know who is 17th? Gronkowski. I guess we should get rid of him, too. The offensive line will get better.
Who's he fighting with?
I don't know. Paul, maybe.
Not me.
The offensive line will get better, and I will not be surprised if we beat the Ravens. I'm with Paul. The fans are idiots.
That guy's more positive than Fred. He won't be surprised if they beat the Ravens. Fred just looking forward to the challenge.
Who did you pick?
In what?
The paper.
Patriots. I'm still going with they don't lay eggs back to back. It's been a close rivalry over the years. They're close.
I made my pick on Friday. I put the Ravens, but I mean, I certainly had the ability to change it if I wanted to.
Rensa says Welker had 11 targets, second most on the team. He played plenty, but we don't know what he would have played.
Right.
Had
most,
Hernandez
the most
not
dangerous
been
thing
out.
That the NFL has done
put
is
targets.
This target thing in this. Playtime percentage thing that is sweeping. I mean,
too just, much info for the fans? They don't know how to handle it?
You didn't see what they did to start the game. I mean, why was he not out there? Why anytime they had two receiver sets was he not in the game? That's a change. That's a drastic change from the past for this team. Wes Welker has always been on the field as long as there's been receivers on the field.
John Rook's here for a Nitpick Tuesday, and he's not going to have to look far.
No
to
shortage
pick
of information
to pick nits this week.
We have lots of nits to pick this week. I thought it was curious, though, that earlier today, in front of or with his conference call with the members of the media, that Josh McDaniels kind of referred a little bit to Welker and his role, and he, I would just say that it wasn't a glowing recommendation
for Welker.
For Welker,
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Something's strange. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. I do believe, and I want to get into this in the program, Fred, but I'm not buying the fact that the Patriots are punishing Wes Welker.
No, we're all in agreement.
I think that's a media fabrication where we've got ESPN and some of the other, Yahoos that are out there. They're searching for a story. They're trying to sensationalize. I'm not buying that. Yet, something is amiss. And I guess the one thing that really bothers me the most about Sunday's game from the Patriots' perspective is that
they didn't lost.
It seem well. Besides that, because they lost, how do you guys put up with this?
We don't.
Well, I didn't think so. Difficult. All right, I figured as much. The thing that bothers me the most about all of it is the fact that they just didn't seem able to change gears like they have in the past.
Yeah.
Usually, when one part of the machine slips a belt, there's always something else that they're able to do to overcome. Right? They didn't do that. When Hernandez went down, it sputtered. It stopped almost, and that disappointed me more than anything. I expected more out of the play calling and out of Josh McDaniels to be able on the fly. Let's go. Let's get this thing back to the way it was over the last few years. Because keep in mind, before last year, we didn't really have Hernandez as a viable part of this offense like we did last year and now this year. Mm. We were just learning what he was 2 years ago when he was a rookie. Correct?
And he was hurt a little
sure.
bit. That
he
year.
Was hurt a little bit. So we basically had out on the field on Sunday what we had 2 years ago and prior to that. And you're telling me we can't just like, okay, scrap this. Let's go to plan B. Right. We don't have that, arsenal in there. That didn't make any sense.
My initial reaction was not panic. I figured, okay, they'll be fine.
Exactly.
And they weren't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I felt the exact same thing. That really disappointed me. I just thought that they did not respond to the challenge. They were ill prepared. And this is one of the few times that I think I can remember, especially at home, them being as ill-prepared as they were against Arizona.
All right, John Rook's coming up on the playbook. We had a lot of emails that we didn't get to, so John will. He'll be here for the next 2 hours. And as far as us, we'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, 4 o'clock, Fantasy Football Champs. My wife had a chance last week to trade Cruz for Sanchez. She didn't take the trade, and it paid off. She won because she kept Cruz from the Giants. So that's all I know about fantasy football.
Loser.
But the guys at 4 know everything. Stay tuned for John Rook.
Hey now, you men! Throw away your fancy clothes! While you're out there sitting on the fence! So get up your house and come down here! Cause rock and roll ain't no riddle, man! To me, it makes good, good sense! Good sense, let's go!
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.